Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance, Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Jim Taylor. It was an emotional day in the South Florida courtroom. Judge Larry Seidlin barely keeping it together as he issued his non-decision, really, leaving the final say on where to bury the body of Anna Nicole Smith to the guardian of her baby girl. Since she's in the Bahamas, that's where the final resting place is likely to be. All parties concerned appearing after the judgment to put up a united front of agreement. Ex-boyfriend Larry Burkhead.
We all understand that we all love Anna, and it's in her best interest to come together.
And so it is done. Perhaps. Perspective from CBS News legal analyst Andrew Cohen.
This was never supposed to be a complicated matter. It should have been a 1 or 2 hour hearing at the most. It should have all been resolved last week. This judge turned it into a circus, a long circus. At the end of the day, you get the result that's probably the most reasonable one, but the process itself was astounding, outrageous. And I'm sure the judge has not heard the end of it.
Scary stuff in Iraq.
Bombs are turning up with chlorine, and Lieutenant General Ray Odierno says U.S. forces discovered the chemical in a bomb factory.
We also found ingredients to be used to devise or enhance explosives, such as fertilizer and chlorine cylinders.
The commander of the multinational force is also concerned about helicopter shootdowns.
They've probably been trying to do this for a long time, but my guess is we have a cell out there that's somewhat effective.
And organized.
In a few cases, there were probably some sort of ambush sites that were set up by some of our foes.
He says two suspects are in custody in the shootdowns. Howard Ehrenstein, CBS News, Washington.
Louis Libby's future still up in the air. A Washington jury ending a long day of deliberations today in the perjury case of the former White House aides. CBS's Peter Mayer.
In a sign of the painstaking more than 12 hours of deliberations, the jury asked the court for a flip chart, office supplies, and documents with pictures of witnesses.
Uranium enrichment still churns along nicely in Iran, and now U.S. officials are planning to meet with other U.N. partners in London next Monday. They'll try to draft another set of anti-Iran resolutions. There is word that Senator Joe Lieberman, an independent who caucuses with the Democrats, is threatening to become a Republican. Kerry Butoff with the Politico says that the trigger would be a cutoff in funding for the war.
He has no plans to switch parties, but if the party went in a direction that he was not comfortable with, he would consider it.
Such a move would significantly alter the balance of power in the Senate. One of the great Boston Celtics is dead. Dennis Johnson.
Everybody thinks about Larry Bird and Kevin McHale and Robert Parrish being, you know, that great, incredible Hall of Fame front line. But Dennis Johnson oftentimes was the guy they would go to in the clutch when they needed a shot.
NBA analyst Tim Legler, five-time All-Star, played on 3 NBA championship teams. No word of the cause of death. DJ was 52. The Dow ends down today, the NASDAQ up. Dow Jones Industrials losing 52 points today, NASDAQ gaining 6.5. This is CBS News.
They say there are no guarantees in real estate.
But we found the Coldwell Banker Seller Services Guarantee.
It helped us sell our home.
I was amazed by everything our agent did.
Like helping us set the right price.
And getting it. Go to ColdwellBanker.com to see a written commitment that explains what our agents will do to market your home.
They take it seriously.
It's in writing. The Coldwell Banker Seller Services Guarantee. Coldwell Banker, your perfect partner. Each office is independently owned and operated.
Hello, would you like to be more successful with the opposite sex? I'm Ted Baker, and my program can teach you how to attract a mate. Listen to this.
Ted told me about logging on to freecreditreport.com. I learned that my good credit could help me buy a car and a boat, and now chicks dig me.
My patented system could work for you, too. Log on to freecreditreport.com to get your free credit score and report. A nice condo could make you irresistible.
Get your free credit score and report with enrollment in Triple Advantage at freecreditreport.com. Get the score.
Safe meat. That's the aim of new rules and regs coming down from the Department of Agriculture.
It's the first major overhaul in the food safety inspection system in 10 years.
This new process will take what I believe is already a very safe food supply and will make it safer.
Agriculture Undersecretary Richard Raymond says plants will receive scores to determine how intensive the inspections will be. Scores will be based on the inherent safety of the food the plant processes.
A smoked canned ham, for instance, has almost zero risk that you can get sick from eating it when you eat it right out of the can.
And on the plant's track record on safety. The program will be phased in starting in April. John Hartsey, CBS News, Washington.
Warning to men in Buffalo, New York, beware the hugging bandit. Police say the woman targets men coming out of bars in the wee hours, gives them a big hug, during which she lifts their wallets. Dozens of victims. Cops believe many others are too embarrassed to say anything about it. By the way, the police say they think that she's a 48-year-old woman with a long rap sheet. I'm Jim Taylor, CBS News.
Now, you have a very unique accounting system for your boutique.
Yep. I designed my own spreadsheet.
Wow, looks complicated.
That's why I have a cheat sheet for my spreadsheet.
That is one big cheat sheet.
That's just the index.
You know, there's an easier way to manage your business.
Really?
Yeah, QuickBooks. You can be up and running in under 15 minutes. With just a few clicks, QuickBooks software lets you send invoices, see who's paid and who hasn't. It even makes tax time a cinch.
I'm switching.
Great.
Can you help me fold this back up?
I doubt it. QuickBooks. Better, faster, simpler. Get it at Staples, Office Depot, or Sam's Club.
This is Charles Osgood of the Osgood File. The American Heart Association says one way to promote a healthy heart is to eat a diet naturally rich in antioxidants. So where can you find them? Well, did you know Welch's 100% grape juice contains powerful antioxidants, much like the grapes used to make red wine? In fact, one independent study just ranked Welch's 100% grape juice the number one beverage for antioxidant capacity per serving among 1,000 foods tested. It may be the tastiest way to help protect your heart. I made the switch to Welch's 100% grape juice. No added sugar, unmistakably delicious taste. I'm Charles Osgood. See you on the Osgood File.
Reporting for duty. It's that time of the day, friends. The time we launch the Peter B. Collins Show, live, unscripted, unrehearsed, originating on the left coast of these United States. Proudly embracing San Francisco values. You know, justice, equality, compassion. Those dangerous kind of values. This is a live two-way talk show, which is a different way of saying we take your phone calls. We actually pay for the call. I write the check every month myself. 888-5-PETER-B. It's toll-free to you. 888-573-8372. You can also email me, and people do, like our friend in Louisville, Kentucky, we'll reference here in just a moment. My email is peter@peterbcollins.com. First up in a minute, Faz Shakir checks in from the Progress Report at the Center for American Progress. Then later this hour, Max Blumenthal, who writes for The Nation and also has his own blog. He's up at the Huffington Post. He first broke the story that got picked up by the New York Times this week about the Republican revolt against Arizona's senior senator, John McCain. Also on today's program, Robert Perry, the investigative journalist from ConsortiumNews.com. We're going to talk about the shameful efforts of the Washington Post that appear to be aimed at influencing the jury in the Scooter Libby trial. Victoria Tonsing wrote a piece, a real flamer, last weekend. We'll talk about that. Also, Robert Perry has long followed the relationship between the Bush family, or as Malloy calls him, the Bush crime family, and Reverend Sung Myung Moon in the Unification Church. There's a new moon fraud out there. We'll tell you about it when Robert Perry joins us next hour. Also on today's program, civil rights attorney Jonathan Haffetz from the Brennan Center at NYU School of Law. We're going to talk to him about the Gitmo ruling from the federal court in Washington earlier this week. He has also represented a gentleman named Al Mari, who is not a U.S. citizen but has a habeas corpus claim pending in the courts. And also, if he knows anything about it, we're going to ask him about this bizarre event hosted by the Young Republicans on his campus at NYU today. It's called Catch an Illegal Immigrant. And I don't know if this is like a work-study special project of Fascism 101 or exactly what produced this thing, but we'll see if we can find out.
as we talk with Attorney Jonathan Haffetz coming up. And then, of course, our free speech zone, where we take your phone calls on any subject from any viewpoint and from anywhere within the sound of my voice. It's all ahead here on the Peter B. Collins Show today. And as I mentioned up first, it's Faz Shakir. He's the research director of the Center for American Progress in Washington, and he is co-editor of the Daily Progress Report. You can get it delivered to your email inbox just by logging on to progressreport.org. Hello, Faz.
Hi, Peter. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay today. But weird stuff is happening. I'll just acknowledge that. And one of them is a tip that I got from Margaret, who's one of our listeners online in Louisville, Kentucky. And we do say Louisville for local consumption. But she picked up an item off the Politico. That's an online and a print political newspaper that just started recently, funded by the Allbritton family in Washington. And it says that Senator Joe Lieberman of Connecticut told the Politico today he has no immediate plans to switch parties, but he suggested the Democratic opposition to funding the war in Iraq might change his mind. That's a threat, isn't it?
Yeah, he's losing the debate on the war. He's one of the 30%ers or the 20%ers or whatever they are left. And so now he's trying to take the Democratic Party hostage because, of course, right now he's caucusing with the Democrats, which gives them their 51-49 edge. And so now he's saying that the war, because he believes that the Harry Reid and company are wrong on the war, he's now threatening to bolt to try to get them to change their position.
Mm-hmm. And this could have a really significant impact, partly because we don't know when Tim Johnson of South Dakota will return to duty in the Senate. He has left the hospital, is at a rehab center, but it's a very wobbly control that the Democrats have. And without Lieberman and Johnson, it would flip to Republican control again, right?
Yeah, just like it was when Jeffords bolted and we had a switch to the Democratic Party and there was a 50-50 split on resources. I think you'd see something along those lines. Of course, Vice President Cheney would then be the tiebreaker, and we all know how that would go.
Yeah.
So I think in terms of Lieberman, what really upsets me is that he really sold us a false bill of goods because in the last election, he, of course, ran as an independent, but he told the voters of Connecticut that I'm going to be a Democrat. I'm going to vote with the Democratic Party. And so most of the voters in Connecticut, which is, of course, a very blue state, voted for him expecting that he would be caucusing with the Democrats. And I think most of Connecticut is on a different page with him with regard to the war specifically. And so now he's taking both the war and bolting on his own state.
Well, fool me once, Joe, shame on Bush. Fool me twice, shame on Connecticut.
Yeah.
I mean, they saw that he broke his bond with the Democratic Party to preserve his own Senate livelihood. And to me, you know, once he did that and challenged Ned Lamont, the Democratic nominee who beat him fair and square, I think that sent a powerful signal that should have registered with the citizens of Connecticut. And I can't really tell whether Lamont just didn't, catch fire in the final stages of the campaign, or if Connecticut is just a little more conservative than we thought. Lowell Weicker was a progressive Republican, but I guess that even though nominally we've got Chris Dodd and Connecticut's supposed to be a blue state, it's kind of on the fence.
Yeah, but remember towards the end of that campaign, I think Senator Lieberman started to get a lot of attraction because he started to sound like he was critical of the war. And although he never came out and said I was against the war, he started to sound like, well, I have a lot of problems with how the war is being conducted. I've stood up to Bush on XYZ with regards to Iraq. And he was trying to sound a more aggressive tone. And so I think that got him a lot of traction and started to make it look like he wasn't all that different from Lamont, in his rhetoric at least. And then as soon as the election was over, he became once again a Cheney-like pit bull on the issue and refuses to even acknowledge or understand the other side of the debate.
Yeah. Well, and from a Democratic perspective, his cause is so lost, nobody even asks him to repudiate his vote in 2002 or apologize for it.
Right.
Faz, I want to turn to the lead story in the Progress Report today. At the Center for American Progress, you have launched a new project. It's called Net Trends 08. Tell us about it.
Well, you know, what we're trying to do with Net Trends is that we're trying to highlight these innovative ideas and these organizing techniques that are going on online And how these presidential candidates, all of them, both Democrats and Republicans, are using these new democratic tools, because, you know, it's really changing the face of democracy when you think of how YouTube and how MySpace and Facebook and, you know, these online blogs that these campaigns have, how they're employing those is really changing how politics functions. And it only works, of course, if the people to whom they are reaching out to, that is us, engage in those tools. And so we're trying to track how these candidates are engaging these online tools and letting people know what those tools are so that if they want to choose to engage, they can do so.
Mm-hmm. And we have like a special section on macaca alerts.
Yeah, of course, that was the YouTube election, right?
The last
time. And, you know, it was the macaca campaign video came from YouTube, and
mm-hmm.
so that's going to be one of the powerful tools of this election as well. But again, only if people engage in it and upload video to those sites.
Now, are you going to have somebody on duty 24/7? Because as we've seen in the recent skirmish between the Clinton and Obama campaigns, this kind of maximum instant response seems to be setting a tone for the coming campaign.
Yeah. I'm having a little bit of trouble hearing you, though, Peter.
I think I'm sorry.
Breaking out a little bit.
Okay, let me. How about if I turn that up a little bit? Did that help?
Okay, I think I can hear you a little bit better.
Okay, sorry. So, you know, one of the issues here is that things on the web change very quickly, and we now have a news cycle that never stops, and so there's a bit of a challenge here to keep up with it all.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about that. There's so many things going on online with how these candidates are using these various tools. And so a lot of people don't know that, you know, they're uploading photos to a site called Flickr. They don't know that those exist. I think a lot of these tools have information that a lot of the campaigns are trying to put out that people just don't know about, you know, and they're putting out videos of themselves. They're also holding these web chats, of course. Hillary has started that, and other people are trying to catch on with that as well. So, you know, they're meant to be reaching out to people, and we're just trying to make sure that people are informed about them.
Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to take a break and return with Faz Shakir from the Daily Progress Report at the Center for American Progress. I want to talk to him about the problems at Walter Reed, highlighted by the Washington Post earlier this week, and the very lame response from the Bush administration. And if there's time, we'll also talk about the recent exchange between Dick Cheney and Nancy Pelosi. Was he questioning her patriotism? We'll pursue that in a moment, right here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Are you tired of hearing no when applying for a home loan? Is your credit shot due to late payments, bankruptcy, or recent foreclosure? Do you need help purchasing a home or refinancing your existing home? Well, now there is help. Every Saturday and Sunday morning from 7 to 8 here on KRXA 540 AM, listen live to national radio host Ken Michaels of Mortgage Makeovers as he doles out simple answers in plain English to your mortgage and finance questions.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
ZNS Auto Sales in Monterey, family-owned for 30 years, is where partnership works. Whether you're a first-time buyer and need a safe economy car, or looking for a truck or SUV or a classic, they have it all. Call ZNS before you make that final decision. ZNS open every day at 1179 Del Monte Boulevard between the Navy Postgraduate School and Lake El Estero. High-quality used cars at the very best prices. ZNS Auto Sales, where partnership works.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Go ahead, turn it up, pump it up. We continue with Faz Shakir from the Center for American Progress, co-editor of the Daily Progress Report. Just go to progressreport.org, read it for yourself. A lot of powerful information and links to sources and analysis. It's very well done. And I use it on a regular basis to help get up to speed here for the Daily Talk Show. Faz, I wanted to talk next about the situation at Walter Reed. And the Washington Post did an expose, and I give them credit for it. I'm upset with them about some of the other things they've recently published, particularly about the Libby trial. But I think it's a good job on their part, and it certainly has opened the eyes of many Americans to the problems for returning veterans, particularly those who've been seriously wounded. And I guess when I look at the problems at Walter Reed right there in Washington, where, you know, key officials go to visit the wounded all the time, I can only imagine that things are much worse in the hospitals and other facilities outside of Washington.
No, you're absolutely right. And, you know, you're right that it's a credit to Dana Priest and Amy Hall who wrote these pieces. You know, they snuck in and out of the Walter Reed facilities for 4 months prior to writing this. So it was really the type of journalism that we should all kind of applaud and hope that there's more of. And so and sneaking in and out of the facilities because, you know, of course, the officials wouldn't let them take official visits to the outpatient facilities. That's where they went because very few people ever visit the outpatient facilities. They only go to the hospital. And the hospital is very nice, very clean, very neat, but nobody ever ventures to the outpatient facilities. And so they went there and saw that there was mold and the building was basically breaking down. Soldiers were having to deal with rats on the floor, cockroaches all over the place. And so these are the types of facilities that are being hidden from, you know, whoever comes to visit Walter Reed. And of course, you can't, I don't know how much blame you can put on, like, per se, President Bush, but certainly somebody in the administration knows about what's been going on there, and they've just neglected it for so long that, you know, ultimately it caught the attention of these Post reporters.
And here's free media advice for Tony Snow. He stood there at the podium in the press room and dodged questions about the problems at Walter Reed, finally admitted that the president didn't know squat about it until he, you know, it was reported in the newspaper, and then referred all of the reporters to the Army, saying, well, that's where you go for a response. And here's the free advice, Tony. You should have saddled up immediately and gone and inspected Building 18 at Walter Reed for yourself. Because, you know, that's what people want to see. They want to see that there's not only concern and rhetoric, but that somebody actually, you know, has physically observed this and wants to do something about it. And instead, we got a bunch of talking heads passing the buck.
Yeah, and what was surprising was the callous disregard with which Tony Snow spoke. You know, it was that, well, we didn't know about this, and it almost gave you the impression that it's not really a major priority for us. We hope something gets done, but we're going to pass this over to the Pentagon and the Army. They'll take responsibility for it, and hopefully they'll do something about it. Mm-hmm. You know, it didn't ever appear that it was a major concern for them, and so now the Army and the Pentagon are on this public relations blitz trying to bring in people from CNN and all these networks to try to show them that things aren't as bad as they've been reported. But, you know, I was listening to Don Imus this morning, and he revealed that, you know, he's trying to get a tour of Walter Reed, but they would only lead him on a limited guided tour. So that's what they're doing with the media, is just showing them the certain places that they want them to see, but they won't let you go and inspect all of the facilities to see whether what they see in the limited guided tour is representative of everything.
On the NewsHour on PBS last night, they had a Pentagon general who took responsibility and then, you know, tried to disperse it as quickly as he possibly could. And a man whose name I don't recall, but he is a former advocate for veterans who is now just a private citizen. But he was quite articulate. And he repeatedly said that, hey, you know, mice and cockroaches and mold, that is a problem and we need to fix it. But the more serious problem here is that when people leave the Walter Reed-type facilities and then get transferred to the Veterans Administration, they are lost in the system, their documents get lost, and the continuity of care is often broken. And this is a very serious issue we need to look at because the VA is seriously underfunded presently. I believe in the out-year budgets, the numbers even drop. And we know that more Americans are going to be wounded in foreign wars and will be coming home and need long-term care. And it's really unconscionable that this administration has permitted things to get this far out of control.
Well, they've had to squeeze somewhere. Unfortunately, they've continued to squeeze the veterans budget in order to, you know, do the tax cuts and also try to balance the budget at the same time. And so they've also tried to instill all these new fees on veterans. They've cut out a number of veterans from veterans care all entirely. Those who are kind of middle income earners have been cut out of the VA healthcare system because they're trying to save money. So they've been really cracking down on veterans. And as you say, not many people have taken note, because they're trying to ensure that the returning veterans from Iraq and Afghanistan are given immediate treatment and that treatment is good. But then they've shifted the resources to them while ignoring basically all of the other veterans. And so when the shift occurs, as you're saying, from the military facilities to the VA hospitals, they're just left for, you know, they're left for poorer care.
Yeah. Faz, one more item I wanted to get your take on. Dick Cheney left the country. Some of us think it's because he doesn't want to be around when the Libby trial jury comes back with a verdict. But he went to Japan, and he was greeted with jeers in Australia. And along the way, he's been littering with negative comments about John McCain, Nancy Pelosi, and Jack Murtha. And yesterday, to her credit, Speaker Pelosi really gave back. And she said that she will not permit him to challenge her patriotism. And she even called his boss and tried to turn him in. Do you know if Bush has returned her phone call yet?
No, I don't know. I haven't seen that anywhere. And, you know, part of her attacks was this is beneath the office of the vice president. But I don't think really much of anything is beneath the office of the vice president anymore. It seems, you know, he hasn't really changed the way he does his business. That is Dick Cheney. You know, he's kind of off in his bunker and we don't really see much of him. But every time he comes out, he's just the same old kind of dogged, dark-sided VP that we've gotten to know from all these years.
It's gratifying to know that he knows that we think of him as a Darth Vader character.
Yeah, exactly. I think he kind of embraces that image that he's the Jack Nicholson character on the stand saying, I'm the one who's trying to protect this country and you guys are trying to bring me down.
And he's taking swipes back at John McCain, who's taken a few swipes at him and said that, McCain was nasty to me. And then he saw me and ran over and apologized. That's a very interesting little piece of chemistry between the Bush White House and the guy we think they want to succeed, Bush. Thank you very much, Faz. Always a pleasure to have you.
Thanks, Peter.
Faz Shakir, Center for American Progress. More on McCain next.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540.
If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
One Day Income Tax Service, family-owned and operated since 1944, specializes in year-round professional tax preparation. Do you want your refund quickly? Stop by One Day Income Tax Service. They offer tax preparation at reasonable rates and work to meet the needs of military families with the capacity to process all out-of-state returns. If you prefer to prepare your own return at home, they can help you expedite your refund by filing your return electronically. Let One Day Income Tax Service assist you with your return and maximize your refund. Stop by 885 Broadway Avenue in Seaside, where no appointment is necessary. Looking for quick, professional, and reasonable tax return preparation? Visit One Day Income Tax Service, 885 Broadway Avenue, Seaside, or call 394-8010. That's 831-394-8010. One Day Income Tax Service, where you walk in with a copy of your most recent tax return, personal ID, and W-2 1099 info for 2006, and you walk out with your completed tax return.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Hi, this is Scott Dick, your host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview authors, chefs, winemakers, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m. for tasty new shows or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
and the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on like a cannonball. That's the name of this tune, our music of the moment by Supertramp. From an album called Brother, Where You Bound. It's 33 minutes after the hour, and special attention to our listeners in Phoenix, Arizona. Max Blumenthal joins us right now. He writes for The Nation and publishes at Huffington Post and blogs at maxblumenthal.com. Welcome back to the show, Max.
Yeah, great to be back, Peter.
Nice to talk with you. I want to give you credit because I first read about John McCain's rejection by Arizona Republicans in The Nation. And then I saw a story in the New York Times that followed, for me, about 24 hours later. I'm sure you wrote it long before the Times got around to it.
I actually emailed my story to some friends at the Times, and they wrote that story and, as usual, did me the favor of not citing me.
Uh-huh.
But you know, it's always good to get the word out.
Do you have a lifelong quest to keep your name out of the New York Times?
I'd love to have my name in there, but they seem to be treating me like persona non grata or something. Mm-hmm. But I mean, that's their style, you know. They take a lot from independent. Not to digress too much from what we're going to talk about, but the New York Times, they take a lot from independent media and take a lot of credit for what we're reporting. And mm-hmm. So I look at it as a testament to the success of independent media.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and it, you know, it's a good and bad thing. There are times, for example, on election integrity issues, when we see a story in the New York Times, it's gratifying to recognize that, the newspaper of record sees a serious problem there. But their coverage is so spotty that you get the idea that they think those of us who are worried about voting machines and electoral processes are some kind of kooks.
Right, right, and they always try to present some sort of false balance on every issue so that they don't appear too partisan if they pull the story from partisan media.
And now allow me to digress for a moment. I was talking with Andy Revkin a week or two ago. He's the environment writer for the New York Times and focuses on climate change, global warming. And he has been, I can't tell that he's actually been forced to do this, but as part of his beat, he has published a series of stories that I think muddy the picture, that offer the idea that there is another side to the global warming debate. And when he was on, I said, Andy, you know, were you writing that, at the point of an icicle or something? And I just have to wonder, because if you recall, right before New Year's, there was this, to me, a stunning report about a huge ice shelf in the Arctic Circle that broke off and floated away. And that story, which I consider to be pretty significant as an indicator of the progress of climate change, was buried on A9 or something like that, toward the bottom. But they made room on the front page for a tease of an article about Holiday on Ice.
Right, right. You know, and they interview people who are supposed of, critics of scientists who claim that, the Earth is heating up because of human activity, and, don't acknowledge that these people are funded by ExxonMobil through front groups.
Yeah.
So it's like, if you're going to do a story on constitutional democracy or something like that, therefore you have to interview a fascist for the story.
Yeah.
To present the other side. Yeah.
Well, let's digress no further. Max Blumenthal is with us, and I direct you to the Huffington Post or to his blog, maxblumenthal.com, or even thenation.com, or pick up the paper copy of the magazine. But tell us about Rob Haney, Arizona Republican State Committee man, who you quote here, McCain is mentally unstable and vindictive and out of control.
Well, if it wasn't for John McCain's apparent vindictiveness, we would have never heard of Rob Haney. And why should we care about Rob Haney? He's a 65-year-old IBM retired middle manager who holds a position, a low-level position in the Arizona Republican Party as a state committee man. But in 2005, after John McCain had come out against anti-immigrant legislation in Arizona, inflaming the Republican base in Arizona, Rob Haney and his fellow committee members from the Arizona Republican Party organized a revolt against John McCain that was purely symbolic. It began with a resolution censoring John McCain for quote-unquote dereliction of duty in the Senate, failing to represent the sentiments of the people who had kept him in power. John McCain took this very personally. First, he sent his chief of staff and the chief of staff of John Kyle, the other Republican senator from Arizona, to a meeting of the GOP committee members in Maricopa County, which is right outside Phoenix, the largest county in Arizona, begging them not and threatening them not to pass this resolution. They passed it anyway, almost unanimously.
And do they believe that he's an amnesty guy? Is that the problem?
That they believe that. There's also his support for campaign finance reform, which the right really opposes because it restricts the activities of a lot of their grassroots groups. And his support for gun control, and they also find him to be just generally unhelpful because he takes supposedly maverick positions publicly in the media, then will reverse course. So they, Rob Haney says, you know, John McCain calls it the Straight Talk Express. Down here we call it the Forked Tongue Express. So John McCain, in revenge for this purely symbolic resolution, as revenge, ran an entire slate of candidates to take out all of the incumbent state committee members in the Republican Party in Arizona who had criticized him or voted for the resolution. He even coaxed his old friend, Fife Symington, the former governor of Arizona, out of retirement to run for this low-level state precinct-level position. And John McCain, he took it so personally that he threw his own hat into the race. So in the end, despite heavy funding and, you know, total name recognition, these guys were destroyed. His entire slate of candidates was wiped off the map, defeated. So John McCain essentially threw, he confirming his reputation for being vindictive, created some sense of concern about how he would handle a real political crisis if he were president, considering the way he reacted to this symbolic low-level rebuke of his leadership.
Well, it's very interesting because this occurred last fall, right?
This happened last fall, and then recently this year, John McCain had supported a woman named Lisa James, a Republican consultant, for the race for the chairperson of the GOP, which is a relatively high-profile race in Arizona, especially because John McCain needs to get his ground game on point in Arizona in advance of the presidential primaries, because Mitt Romney has a really good ground game in Arizona, too, and it's not guaranteed that he's going to win. Lisa James was defeated by Randy Pullen, another conservative critic of John McCain, who was involved in the campaign to pass this anti-immigration legislation that McCain opposed. So McCain suffered another defeat, which actually may have real political ramifications when the campaign rolls around.
Now, it took your efforts to really get this story broken on a national level. I'm sure that the local papers and maybe the TV stations covered it in Phoenix. But do you believe that his Teflon, the relationship he has with the National Press Corps, kind of protects him from critical coverage on stories like this?
Well, he's referred to the media kind of half-jokingly as his base. And they do confer a really fawning coverage on him, in part because he has this maverick image, which I don't think is very well deserved.
Amen.
What are you saying amen to?
I'm saying that he doesn't deserve a moderate image.
Well, he has a moderate image. And you know, what is a moderate Republican, really? And who is a moderate Republican? These are the people who maybe complained about Samuel Alito, complained about the Military Commissions Act, and in the end, they always vote for it every time. Even Arlen Specter votes, who's probably one of the most "quote unquote" moderate Republicans. He voted Alito and Roberts out of committee.
He voted for the Military Commissions Act, saying that he believes it's unconstitutional and just hopes the court will overturn it.
Right, and it's, you know, it's especially egregious in McCain's case since he personally endured torture, and now he's contributed and essentially put his stamp of approval on the institutionalization of torture as American policy.
Now, Max Blumenthal, I want to talk about the curious relationship between McCain, his presidential campaign, and the White House, because he has recruited virtually every major player available from the Bush team, except for Karl Rove. He's got the Swift Boat guy. He's got the Harold Ford Call Me commercial guy. The fundraisers are there. I mean, he has picked up as much of the Bush-Cheney infrastructure as he possibly can. And we have Dick Cheney sniping back at him from Japan and belittling him, saying that he said some nasty things about me, and then, you know, he saw me and ran over to apologize. Maybe he'll apologize to Rumsfeld, too. I mean, that suggests bad blood that is not going to survive the intervening 18 months here.
Well, I mean, the question is, will Dick Cheney survive the 18 months here? But that's another, that's bad blood, literally. We could read this as a calculated political strategy on the part of the Bush team and John McCain, because any candidate who's going to win the Republican nomination is going to need some distance from Bush and is going to need to be seen as somewhat adversarial to the Bush administration. I mean, Dick Cheney's popularity is in the 20s, so I think McCain could benefit from this. At the same time, I don't think it's very calculated. I think the Republicans are imploding, and John McCain's veneer is wearing off. He's trailing in the polls to Giuliani in New Hampshire, and I think that has a lot to do with the fact that he's linked himself to Bush out of principle, because he genuinely believes in the mission in Iraq. He genuinely believes in the surge, and he's been this way throughout his whole career. He's been an extreme hawk who is he's not neoconservative, but he believes in these extreme rollback policies. And now he's starting to pay the price, because the Republican base, I think, wants out of Iraq, and they want to embrace a more isolationist, even nativist policy at home that's closer to some of the things you see Lou Dobbs advocating on CNN.
Mm-hmm. But what's the calculation there? How does he believe that his over-the-top embrace of the surge is going to serve him down the road? Can't he see the public opinion, even among Republicans in this country?
Well, I really do think John McCain is acting on principle there, and when he wrapped himself around Bush in 2004, it had to do with the war. I've heard stories from sources, Republican sources I have, from inside the White House, but John McCain will appear either on large screen TVs or by Bush's side inside the White House to offer encouragement for his policies before the Joint Chiefs of the Pentagon. This is not just purely for political consumption what John McCain is doing. He believes in this, and he is, for a long time, he's been the head of a little known group called the International Republican Institute, which has taken taxpayer money and used it to overthrow regimes through covert methods throughout the world. It's supposedly a pro-democracy group, but what they're doing is they've overthrown countless regimes in Eastern Europe. They helped engineer the coup against Jean-Bertrand Aristide, which I covered for Salon.com. And so John McCain believes in regime change through soft or hard power to advance these sort of mythical principles of American liberty, he's right now paying the price for that. You know, just look back at his speech at the Republican National Convention, which I witnessed. I was actually sitting in the back row at the Republican National Convention in 2004 with a lot of the consultants and the grassroots activists away from the delegates, and they were heckling John McCain as he went on about freedom. He said something about spreading love to Iraq. It sounded like a hippie.
Wow.
Max were saying, go back to Arizona.
We got to take a break. We'll continue with Max Blumenthal. Go to his blog, maxblumenthal.com, or read him at thenation.com or huffingtonpost.com. And we'll go to the phones in the next segment. If you have a question or comment, join us toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. I'm your humble host, Peter B. Collins. You're listening
listening to KRXA 540.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Karma Shell at Rio Road and the Valero at Mid-Karma Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. Karma Shell is happy to pump your gas and check under your hood at your request for no extra charge. At Mid-Karma Valley Valero, we offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota. Our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Karma Shell at Rio Road and Mid-Karma Valley Valero. Putting the service back in service stations.
Hey, good looking. What you got cooking? How's about cooking something up with me?
I'll tell you what I got cooking. Dinner's ready. I went to dinnersready.com, chose 8 gourmet dinners, made an appointment and went to their storefront in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove and prepared the meals there myself. Now I'm cooking them in my own home.
What's that you say? Dinner's ready?
That's right, dinner's ready. It's the newest concept in home cooking. They do all the shopping and chopping, and I get all the credit. If you're too busy to go in and make your dinners, they'll even do it for you. So sign up at dinnersready.com, stop by and see them in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove, or give them a call at 645-9100. That's 645-9100. Dinner's ready!
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 a.m. from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540. If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Lines open if you'd like to talk with me and Max Blumenthal. 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. And up first, Barbara in Phoenix joins us. Hello, Barbara. You're on the air.
Hi. I just want to say, first of all, that there's a recall going on against John McCain, and you can pick up your recall signature form. We were trying to get some signatures to recall.
Mm-hmm.
Under the state law, we can do that. And they're at the radio station at
KPHX.
That's
right.
You.
Our friend Leonard Clark helped launch that effort.
And I also, a lot of libertarians voted for him and for McCain. And they should be very upset because, and there's a lot of libertarians in the state, because he's really betrayed them as well. His stance on abortion changing and, you know, civil rights and so on and so forth. Libertarians are definitely stay out of my business type of folks.
Well, and just to tag on to that, Max reports in his blog that McCain either is scheduled to or has given a speech in Seattle at the Discovery Institute, and their two key focuses are on intelligent design, and that really was the headquarters for the Terry Schiavo campaign.
Right. Well, I mean, he's completely, sold out to the Christian right. In order, I don't understand completely why. I mean, it's almost bizarre. It's like they put a chip in his head or something, and suddenly he went from the somewhat moderate Republican libertarian-y
It is bizarre, but if you look at the route a Republican has to take to the White House, it includes stops in, at Bob Jones University, the Discovery Institute, and also at Jerry Falwell's place. Max?
Well, we're trying to recall him, so let's...
Hold on, Barbara. Let's get a comment from Max. Go ahead, Max.
Well, I think the recall is a good thing because he's not, whether it succeeds or not, for Arizonans, whether you're Republican or whether you're conservative or liberal, he's John McCain's not exactly representing his constituents. He's representing the Chamber of Commerce in Arizona, and he's representing what he perceives the Republican primary voting base to be. At the same time, in the course of doing that, he said that he wants a dialogue with James Dobson. If you're libertarian and you're genuinely libertarian, which means that you're not only for eliminating the federal government, you're also for preventing the federal government from implementing authoritarian measures to infiltrate your private life, then
right.
You will oppose everything James Dobson stands for, because there could be no more insidiously authoritarian figure in America than James Dobson, who even wants the government to mandate how you discipline your children. I mean,
Well, McCain went to the Religious Broadcasters Convention within the past week and gave a speech talking about his faith. And, he really does seem to believe that that is a route. A lot of us in the secular world are not aware of the influence of James Dobson. That guy's on like 3,000 radio stations across the country every day.
The largest radio host, the most popular radio host in America.
Yeah. And he has an influence, and it's not just about the Bible. He uses that platform to motivate people in political ways. Go ahead, Barbara.
He has that dating thing. Isn't that his dating where you can find a match?
He actually, I'm not sure if I'm getting this right, but he used to control some. He has a vested interest in eHarmony.com.
Right. And they rejected me. They did. I filled it out. I didn't know who they were. And I filled it out, and I don't know if it was because I was over 50 or because I was Jewish.
Thanks, Barbara. I'm sorry, but that's a badge of honor.
I don't know why they rejected her, but they do reject you if you're homosexual. You're not allowed to register.
What if you're a former homosexual like Ted Haggard?
Oh, well, you'll probably find a wife pretty quick there.
Dave, Eureka, join us.
Yeah, I've got to say simply that I think the election of John McCain would represent no progress now whatsoever for this country. I think that he's ingratiated himself in every way that he can with a very corrupt bureaucracy there. I'm thinking the only way it makes sense that he would take that route is that he's hoping that whoever controls the voting machines will be smiling on him come election day.
Good point, Dave. Thank you very much. Go ahead, Max.
Because of the corruption of John McCain, just to introduce a really interesting fact about McCain that I don't think has generated enough attention. McCain said that he wanted a dialogue with Dobson. Dobson had been agitating against a specific measure in John McCain's series of campaign finance reform bills that would have required groups like Focus on the Family, James Dobson's group, and other nonprofits to disclose who their donors are on their IRS forms. John McCain wound up voting against this measure that he wrote because of James Dobson's opposition to it.
Wow.
Talk about corruption. The guy's voting against himself now.
Jake Arcata, you're next.
Hey, Peter. You know, in the 2000 Republican primary, we all remember how the Bush campaign just attacked John McCain and his family personally and without mercy. But John McCain, not caring about the racist attacks against his child or the attacks against his wife for her drug abuse and mental illness, he decided to suck up to Bush for the last 7 years. In fact, he was the guy who was promoting the escalation of the war. But now we look at the polls, and John McCain has fallen in the polls, and he's behind a pro-gun control, pro-choice, pro-gay rights Republican by the name of Rudy Giuliani, who's on his third marriage. That's really got to burn McCain to be behind Giuliani.
Well put, Jake. A comment, Max?
Well put.
Okay.
If you're pro-family, you generally stand up for your family.
Let's squeeze in one more. It's Matt in Mesa. Thanks for your call, Matt.
I just had a quick question for your guest in regards to Ron Paul. I think as a more Democratic-leaning constituent of a Republican, Ron Paul seems to be a prime candidate. He's a constitutionalist. He's a veteran. He's been in Congress for 20 years, so he knows policy.
All right, I'm tight for time here. Max, do you have a quick comment?
We could do an entire show on Ron Paul, who has no name recognition, has been tied to the Patriot militia movement, and at the same time is in favor of some policies I agree with. He's the closest to the independent populism that Lou Dobbs advocates, except a little bit more fringe.
Max, we're out of time. Thanks for joining us. Pleasure to talk to you again.
Having me, yeah.
Read all about it at thenation.com, Huffington Post, or maxblumenthal.com. I'm Peter B. Collins.
Concerned about the steady increase in home mortgage interest rates? Don't panic or overreact. Now is the time to analyze the many available options and to choose the best possible course. Leverage the equity in your home to reduce or eliminate high interest and non-deductible debt. Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage, invites you for a free consultation in his Salinas offices at 201 John Street. To schedule your free Creative Mortgage consultation, call Victor at 757-0436 right now. That's 757-0436.
Pacific Grove Liquors is the one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, spirits, and beers at very reasonable prices. Whether you seek the ideal California or imported wine, quality distilled spirits like top shelf tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and premium vodkas, PG Liquors is your beverage outlet. Love beer? PG Liquors boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales and lagers, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand your wine, beer, and liquor store.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The latest Iraqi threat, chlorine gas.
American forces are concerned about new insurgent tactics in Iraq. I'm Howard Arenstein in Washington.
Perhaps a final resting place for Anna Nicole Smith.
I want her buried with her son in the Bahamas.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Peter King. It's not just sniper fire and roadside bombs. U.S. troops in Iraq now have a new worry.
American forces are encountering a worrisome new weapon in Iraq, chlorine bombs. Ingredients were found at a bomb factory.
When we found this factory, we found chlorine cylinders there.
The commander of the multinational forces in Iraq, Lieutenant General Ray Odierno, told Pentagon reporters 8 downings of American helicopters in the last month is another indication the insurgents are changing tactics.
We are aggressively examining the conditions of each incident and adapting tactics and techniques to address the issue.
He said at least 2 suspects are in custody with possible links to the shootdowns. Howard Arenstein, CBS News, Washington.
There's been so much emphasis on trying to stop the violence in Baghdad, but CBS News correspondent Cammie McCormick was with Americans north of the capital trying to keep the insurgents from gaining ground there.
The battle for Baritz, it's a village in Bakuba in Diyala province, and U.S. commanders believe it's key to Iraqi control of this entire area, so they back up an Iraqi battalion who immediately come under fire from a sniper.
Where are they coming from?
The threat is not only from snipers, but roadside bombs. 2 Iraqis are killed and 3 seriously injured when their Humvee hits an IED hidden in a canal. Cammie McCormick, CBS News, Diyala province.
Now this.
You know what's weird? I just signed up for Progressive Car Insurance and saved an extra $50 because I did it online, but their website couldn't be simpler. Maybe if they had one of those sites where your wife ends up telling you to stop yelling at the computer, you're frightening the children, I'd be like, okay, Progressive, you totally owe me $50 for that ordeal, but no, you sign up, it's easy, you save $50.
Go to Progressive.com, sign up online and save an extra $50. Progressive, it's about you and it's about time.
Progressive Direct Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Available in most states and situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Need professional-looking documents? Office Depot can help. From small jobs to bound presentations, bring in your document or submit it at OfficeDepot.com. We'll ship virtually anywhere. Plus, our work is backed by the Office Depot Satisfaction Guarantee. Office Depot, taking care of business.
Whoa, Office Depot!
Certain restrictions apply. See store for details.
After 6 days of hearing the Anna Nicole Smith case, Judge Larry Seidlin cried on the bench before announcing his decision.
Richard Milstein, Esquire,
as a guardian ad litem for Daniel Lynn Hope Marshall Stern, is awarded custody of the remains of Anna Nicole Smith.
Milstein agreed with the judge, deciding that Smith should be buried in the Bahamas next to her son. Smith's mother reportedly plans an appeal. Whichever way it goes, CBS News legal analyst Andrew Cohen says the judge took the long and maybe the wrong way around.
My sense is this guy was so far in under his head that you couldn't even see the ripples on the surface. Now, he may have generated the right result, but this isn't the way the process is supposed to work, and he's lucky that there was some sort of an agreement by the parties, because if there were not, there would be an appeal and maybe even some sort of investigation by the Bar Association down in Florida.
The deadline is come and gone, and Iran is still enriching uranium and expanding its program despite the threat of U.N. sanctions. The State Department spokesman Tom Casey says it's not over yet.
There are going to be additional actions taken by the international community in response to Iran's noncompliance.
Meetings will start Monday in London.
I'm Mark Knoller in Franklinton, North Carolina. It comes as no surprise to the White House that Iran has not complied with UN demands to stop its program of uranium enrichment. On the road here with President Bush, Deputy Press Secretary Dana Perino says the U.S. will take the matter back to the UN Security Council in search of new and tougher sanctions against Iran.
Tainted food has helped expose problems in processing. CBS's John Harchi reports that Uncle Sam plans to keep closer tabs on the industry.
Starting in April, the government will phase in a program of risk-based inspections with more intensive checks on facilities that handle products that are by their nature potentially less safe and facilities with less safe track records.
I would rather prevent an illness than mastermind a recall once an outbreak has occurred.
Agriculture Deputy Undersecretary Richard Raymond says this should improve safety and it won't require more inspectors overall.
The increase that will be in some plants will be countered by a decrease in other plants.
This program involves plants that make processed meat and poultry products.
You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
They say there are no guarantees in real estate.
But we found the Coldwell Banker Seller Services Guarantee.
It helped us sell our home.
I was amazed by everything our agent did.
Like helping us set the right price.
And getting it. Go to ColdwellBanker.com to see a written commitment that explains what our agents will do to market your home.
They take it seriously.
It's in writing. The Coldwell Banker Seller Services Guarantee. Coldwell Banker, your perfect partner. Each office is independently owned and operated.
Hello, would you like to be more successful with the opposite sex? I'm Ted Baker, and my program can teach you how to attract a mate. Listen to this.
Ted told me about logging on to freecreditreport.com. I learned that my good credit could help me buy a car and a boat, and now chicks dig me.
My patented system could work for you, too. Log on to freecreditreport.com to get your free credit score and report. A nice condo could make you irresistible.
Get your free credit score and report with it.
Let's do it.
All right, we're doing it. We're doing it live without a net. It's the Peter B. Collins Show, live, unscripted, and unrehearsed. Lots to talk about today. Coming up in about a half an hour, Jonathan Haffetz from the Brennan Center. He is a civil rights attorney at New York University School of Law. He's currently representing a man named Al Mari, who has been declared an enemy combatant. And we're going to talk about the ruling earlier this week denying habeas corpus rights to the detainees at Guantanamo and elsewhere offshore. And also, Jose Padilla has been declared, at least by one expert, to be incompetent to stand trial because of post-traumatic stress he endured as a prisoner of the United States. And if there's time, we'll ask Jonathan Haffetz to comment on the bizarre event at New York University, his campus today, where the young Republicans held a Find the Illegal Immigrant contest. And I believe it's extra credit in Fascism 101. We'll see if we can find out more about that. Robert Perry is a distinguished investigative journalist who joins us today. He writes at consortiumnews.com. His most recent book is called Secrecy and Privilege, The Rise of the Bush Dynasty from Watergate to Iraq. Bob Perry, welcome back to our program.
Hi, Peter.
And you pronounce it consortium, right, to help people spell it?
Right, it's consortiumnews.com, right?
Not everybody knows how to spell consortium, I guess.
Right.
Well, I was struck by the piece that you wrote analyzing the work of the Washington Post in recent editions, culminating in Victoria Tonsing's piece this past Sunday that I think many people have, they're at least aware of, if and many people have also seen it online. And this was published, and I thought maybe it was kind of a response to Elizabeth de la Vega. She is a retired federal assistant U.S. attorney based in San Jose, and she's published a book called U.S. versus Bush, which is a hypothetical grand jury indictment of the Bush administration for various crimes and other offenses. I think it's a fascinating book. We've interviewed her several times, and I appreciate what she's done. Well, Victoria Tonsin kind of took that and turned it on its ear and published this piece about the people who should have been indicted instead of Scooter Libby, and she names Joe Wilson, Patrick Fitzgerald, and a few other officials, including two token Republicans, Ari Fleischer among them. Now, when I looked at that, I said, wow, is this some sort of payback? So, Bob, I went to WashingtonPost.com, and in the search window, I entered Elizabeth de la Vega. And the Washington Post has given zero coverage to Elizabeth de la Vega's rather ambitious approach to the crimes of the Bush administration. So I guess there's no payback there, at least not one that is obvious or identifiable.
Well, the Washington Post editorial page has been one of the most staunch supporters of going to war in Iraq and continuing the war in Iraq. Fred Hyatt, who's the editorial page editor, before the war, was saying that there was no question there was WMD, and he'd disparage anybody who said otherwise. Afterwards, there was very modest efforts to correct that, but then they continued on pounding virtually any critic who came forward. They've continued to attack Joe Wilson almost like the Republican talking points. Over the past several years now, it's been more than 3 years since Wilson went public with his criticism, which was accurate. He had gone and checked out some of these reports, came back and gave his best account. He said that based on what he could find, there was no evidence that there was an effort by the Iraqis to obtain yellow cake uranium from Niger. That turned out to be accurate, but there's been this endless effort to discredit him, almost. One can understand it, I suppose, in a sick way from the White House, but to see it from the Washington Post is, in a sense, almost more troubling, that they are supposed to be there at some level to tell the American people, and especially those living in the Washington area, the truth. Not just carry the water for some political ideologues. And
well, there's also the issues of proximity and timing. If this had been the Kansas City Star, and it had been published last September or next September, I wouldn't have any problem with it. But this is the Washington Post, presumably available to the jurors in the event that they don't follow the judge's instructions literally. And the timing was as the jury was about to receive the case. And many have argued, I think, effectively, that this does appear to be some sort of an effort at jury tampering.
Right. On Saturday, there was a piece by Byron York, who's a far-right-wing journalist, also attacking the case, essentially along the versions of the White House talking points. And then we see this bizarre piece by Vicki Tenzing, who was a former Justice Department official during the Reagan administration. She's not just some person who sort of shows off the street. She has these credentials of being a senior Justice Department official in the past. And she does this piece, which is truly bizarre. Not only is it dishonest in the sense that it says things that are flatly wrong, but it is pejorative against key figures like Patrick Fitzgerald and Joe Wilson. And then it's illustrated by the Washington Post doing Photoshops of pictures of the special prosecutor and one of the key victims, Wilson in the case, as mugshots. They're presented as mugshots on the front page of the Outlook section of the Sunday Washington Post, which, as you say, is read by jurors.
Well,
it's an extraordinary effort to essentially to present a case that the Libby defense attorneys did not make in court. Mm-hmm. They said they were. They said they were going to show that Libby was just the fall guy. They never presented that. And in fact, they kind of semi-apologized for it in their closing arguments. Well, I think one of the attorneys said he must have been drunk at the time. Mm-hmm. But here you have the Washington Post essentially carrying that water in a way to the jury just before it gets the case. It's an extraordinary act by a major news organization.
And we don't know the identity explicitly, but one of the jurors is a retired Washington Post reporter.
Who worked for Bob Woodward, right.
Mm-hmm. So it would seem that the right thing to do would be for the Post not to publish this at this time, and that's a minimal demand on my part.
Right. You would think that if they were going to publish something, it would be far more temperate to put the federal prosecutor, Patrick Fitzgerald's picture in the front page of the Outlook section of the Washington Post as someone in a mugshot, a picture they invented, they created. Is extraordinary, and it would say to the jury, "Oh, don't trust this guy. He's just the prosecutor, but he look at this. Here's a picture of him as a criminal."
Mm-hmm.
And they do the same to Joe Wilson, and Joe Wilson has done nothing besides he served his country. In February of 2002, the CIA approaches him. He's a former ambassador who has served both in Iraq. And in Africa, has had experience in Niger, was very much one of the top few people you would pick for this kind of assignment. He was highly qualified. He did it pro bono. He did it without being paid. He goes to this country, which is not exactly a vacation spot, Niger, and he comes back with an accurate account, a very balanced account of what he found. And he is then subjected over this past several years by his government, by the White House, and now by the Republican National Committee, by members of the news media from the right through the Washington Post to this character assassination that has gone on now for more than 3 years. Plus, his wife's career is destroyed. She was an undercover CIA officer, despite what Vicki Tenzing says. Tenzing makes this point that she was not covert. She was covert.
And that is a canard. And again, that is an argument that could influence the jury.
Right. Basically, during this trial, the status of Valerie Plame, Wilson's wife, the CIA officer, was kept essentially out of the case. And it was done for that reason by the defense. Scooter Libby's defense attorneys did not want this brought in, at least not in any prominent way, because it might prejudice the jury. The jury would say, this is an undercover CIA officer and this guy's involved in outing her. That's outrageous. But the case is really about Libby lying. So it's been narrowed down, and that has not been part of the case. Now, Vicki Tenzing in the Washington Post turns this around, and she says, because Patrick Fitzgerald has not presented evidence in support of the fact that she was a covert operative for the CIA, undercover, that therefore it shows that there's no basis for that. It's kind of an Orwellian, Kafkaesque argument.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, you have the defense saying, don't bring this in, the judge saying, okay, you're right, it's too pejorative, it might inflame the jury. You have the prosecution going along with this. And then you have the Washington Post turning it on its head and saying, because this was not brought in, it must not be true. When, you know, I have spoken with people who were in the class with the CIA class with Valerie Plame. She was definitely covert. Mm-hmm. She was definitely undercover. She was handling sensitive matters. Her identity was classified. And this has become, as you say, a canard that the right has used to sort of pretend because she was based at Langley. She was based at CIA headquarters. Their argument is if you're based at CIA headquarters, you must not be covert. That is nonsense.
Well, and Larry,
the vast majority of people at Langley are covert. They are undercover. They move in and out of headquarters. They go out on dangerous assignments. But this is something that the right-wing media has been able to promote, and now the Washington Post is carrying that water too.
And if you do a search for Larry C. Johnson and Victoria Tenzing, T-O-E-N-S-I-N-G, you'll probably find this letter that's floating around the web or an article by the former CIA agent Larry C. Johnson. I think he was an executive there. And in very clear terms, he spells out that she was a non-official cover agent at the time that she was outed. We're going to take a break and return with Robert Perry. Visit his website, consortiumnews.com. And as we continue, we'll talk a little more about this and about the latest scam perpetrated by Reverend Sung Myung Moon. He loves the wholesale fish industry. That's coming up next right here on the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Aloha, I'm Jay.
And I'm Ginger.
And we would like to invite you to our family restaurant, A Pizza Paradise, serving the biggest, best, and boldest pizzas from our Marina location at 215 Reservation Road. It's in the Marina Village Shopping Center across from Wells Fargo Bank. Try one of our specialty pizzas like the Ginger's Island Paradise, or for the meat lovers, a Meet Me in Paradise. We're open Tuesday through Sunday and offer a banquet room for up to 80 people. We deliver to Marina and CSUMB.
Call 582-9149.
It's A Pizza Paradise.
That's 582-9149.
Pour me another tequila, Sheila.
Here's what people are saying about the hottest new show in town.
Joe, thank you so much for being here.
I want to wish you the best of luck with this. I think it's a great service.
Hey, drink up, all you people.
12-Step Talk Uncensored, where we take the shame and blame out of addiction. Join me, Sheila Gale, Saturday afternoons, 4 to 5. 12-Step Talk Uncensored. It's about time.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Come on in and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones. Everything so tasty you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a killer affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus too. A side of couscous and a baba ghanoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery.
In PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, 22 minutes after the hour. We're talking with investigative journalist Robert Perry. And Bob, just to finish up on the Washington Post publishing these pieces that could influence the jury in the Libby case, has the Post acknowledged its errors? Brent Badowski, who helped write the CIA identities law several decades ago, he was on our program Monday. He wrote a letter to the editor and an op-ed. Do you know if either got published?
The letter was published, about 160 words or so. So, yes, Badowski's letter did get into the Washington Post, but clearly it doesn't have quite the impact of having phony pictures of the prosecutor and Joe Wilson as criminals plastered across the front page of the Outlook section, which is, on a Sunday, that's a major feature of the Washington Post, their Outlook section. It's their opinion section, and it's read by hundreds of thousands of people in this area, and so it's not inconsequential to sort of have as at the top of your page, as your dominant story, this graphic of Patrick Fitzgerald as a criminal, and Joe Wilson as a criminal, even though these are made up doctored photographs.
Mm-hmm. Now I want to shift gears. You have a piece that intrigued me that's up at consortiumnews.com. I've been following the antics of Reverend Sun Myung Moon and the Moonies, the Unification Church, since the mid-1970s. And here in San Francisco, they were very active. They used to have kids on the street selling flowers, and homeless people would get picked up, not necessarily abducted, but conned into a trip to Boonville, up to the ranch, and some of them were into these forced marriages. I mean, it was quite a story. And I learned in the early 90s from the city paper in your town in Washington about the extensive holdings that Reverend Moon has in the wholesale fish industry. And you have built upon that with a new story about poaching baby sharks from San Francisco Bay, just about a mile from where I am.
Right. Well, there was a case that was brought by the federal prosecutor, who I guess is now being removed, but who was who did bring a case against some figures in the Unification Church who had been for a decade poaching these sharks, these infant sharks, out of their habitat in San Francisco Bay and selling them illegally into the black market. So the interesting thing, though, here is that this is sort of one of those. I'm not sure it's a petty crime, because obviously all these things are serious, but it's the kind of crime that the Moon Organization will do in there to support their local operations. And the point of the piece is to show that there are really two levels of criminality in the Moon Organization. And I think the Moon Organization could fairly be described as an ongoing criminal enterprise, really dating back 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
That you have the smaller level crimes like the poaching of the sharks, or the selling of the bait and switch scams that I describe in the piece that might support certain smaller local operations, and then you have the larger, more expensive operations like the Washington Times, which according to one of the longtime reporters there, George Archibald, has cost $3 billion since it was founded in 1982. It's a major force for propaganda from the American right. And $3 billion is a lot of money. It dwarfs what people might see from, say, a Richard Mellon Scaife or many of these other better-known right-wing financiers. But Reverend Moon has been bringing this money in from offshore, from Japan and from South America, using money laundering techniques, and there is extensive evidence, including admissions by his former daughter-in-law, for instance, who was brought into these smuggling operations to hide money, bring it in past U.S. customs,
mm-hmm.
who could then be laundered through other Moon operations and then be delivered to these big ticket items like the Washington Times, or paying off American politicians, or funding right-wing conferences. Or in some cases, where they would bail out people like Jerry Falwell when he was in financial trouble over Liberty University, they managed to buy up his debt using some of these techniques, and again using front companies to do it. And we've been able to trace much of this. So what's interesting is that you have this ongoing global criminal enterprise that operates both locally, as in this case of the shark poaching, but also more internationally, with relations to the Yakuza, the organized crime family, mm-hmm. in Japan, or the drug cartels in South America,
or gun running in Argentina.
in helping to finance and shape American politics. And they've done an extraordinary job, even most recently with the case of Moon's Insight magazine, putting out this bogus story to try to discredit both Barack Obama,
right,
who supposedly was in a madrasa in Indonesia when he was 6 years old, which turned out to be a bogus story.
And then the
but
double
also
fake.
Also,
then
attributing it to Hillary Clinton,
right,
to try to sort of get both Democrats and discredit both of them at once. So, I mean, you have this extraordinary thing of a propaganda enterprise, an intelligence sort of operation, financed with not only foreign money, but illicit foreign money, smuggled into the United States in violation of U.S. customs, money laundering. And this is, and the U.S. government, because the power that Moon has developed through his influence with the Bush family and others, they look the other way.
Yeah. Robert Perry, it's a great story. People should read all about it at consortiumnews.com. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you, Peter.
My pleasure. Coming up next, attorney Jonathan Hafetz talks about Gitmo detainees and habeas corpus on the Peter B. Collins Show. Now I'll...
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance, Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
1 year, 8 months, 13 days to go. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. The Democrats' two potential history makers are now officially at each other. The tiff began when rich Hollywood power broker David Geffen told the New York Times he would not be supporting Hillary Clinton this time around because, while everybody in politics lies, Bill and Hillary, quote, do it with such ease it's troubling. Geffen also called Bill reckless and said he didn't think Hillary could bring the country together. Apparently, dropping Clinton from her campaign signs hasn't fooled Mr. Geffen one bit. And so, instead of supporting Hillary as the first female president, he sent $2,300 in support of Barack Obama as the first black president. In response, the Clinton campaign said the Obama campaign was embracing the politics of trash and demanded that Obama denounce Geffen and return his $2,300. Obama refused to do either. Then, Obama's communications director said he wasn't going to get into the middle of a disagreement between the Clintons and a former supporter, but then did anyway, observing that the Clintons had no problem with David Geffen back in the days when he was raising $18 million for them and sleeping in the Lincoln bedroom. It was left to candidate John Edwards to rise above the fray and comment that Hillary's 2002 vote in favor of going into Iraq was between her and her conscience and that it wasn't for him to judge, making it clear that judgmental is the last thing that he would want to be, so if you're looking for someone to judge Hillary Clinton, it's not him. Don't even ask. He has no opinion on it. There's nothing to see here. At least that's the message I'm getting. 1 year, 8 months, and 13 days from the election. Now this.
Computer security threats such as spam, spyware, viruses, and pop-up ads invade your business every day through email, web browsing, and instant messaging.
And the fastest way to stop them is with Barracuda Network's spam, firewalls, and web filters.
Call 888-ANTI-SPAM now
and ask for your free trial. Barracuda Network's firewalls are affordable and easy to use. That's why over 35,000 leading companies are using the award-winning firewall. Try a Barracuda firewall for free. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM, 888-ANTI-SPAM, or go online to barracuda.com.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
In these United States, you have many rights. You have the right to assemble. You have the right to free speech. You have the right to worship as you choose. And when you disagree with Billy Sunshine, you have the right to be wrong.
The Billy Sunshine Show, right here on KRXA 540 AM. Tune in Sundays 3 to 5.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. We'll throw open the phone lines in the free speech zone next hour. There's a lot to talk about. This half hour, we're going to take a look at the court ruling on Monday that affirms the intention of the Military Commissions Act, passed by the Congress, signed by the President in the heat of the fall campaign, October of 2006, which I think is one of the absolute worst pieces of legislation ever enacted by our nation. And as you've heard, I renamed it the Joe Stalin Interrogation, Detention, and Kangaroo Court Act of 2006. In a moment, we'll be joined by Jonathan Hafitz from the Brennan Center at New York University in the law school there. And as we're waiting to connect with him, I want to direct you to the lead editorial in today's New York Times. In another low moment for American justice, a federal appeals court Tuesday ruled that detainees held at the prison camp at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, do not have the right to be heard in court. The ruling relied on a shameful law that President Bush stampeded through Congress last fall that gives dangerously short shrift to the Constitution. The right of prisoners to challenge their confinement, habeas corpus, is enshrined in the Constitution and is central to American liberty. Congress and the Supreme Court should act quickly and forcefully to undo the grievous damage that last fall's law and this week's ruling have done to this basic freedom. Well, I agree wholeheartedly. And we're now ready to talk with Jonathan Hafitz, who is an associate counsel in the Liberty and National Security Project at the Brennan Center for Justice, and that's at New York University School of Law. Jonathan Hafitz, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, thank you.
Nice to have you with us. And before we get into the issues related to habeas and Guantanamo, there's a story that I heard about earlier today that the young Republicans at NYU staged an illegal immigrant hunt today. Do you know anything about that?
I don't. I didn't see anything about that. We were a little bit off the campus, but I'm sure I'll be reading about it.
Okay. Well, then I won't pursue further comment from you, because if you haven't heard about it, you probably don't have much to say. But it's bizarre, and I think maybe it's a special extra credit program in Fascism 101. But we'll catch up with you later on that.
Yeah, it sounds like it will not be popular in New York, that I can say.
Yeah. Well, there's so many things going on. Let me first turn to the breaking news today that an expert, a psychologist, has argued and presented some documentation that Jose Padilla is incompetent to help with his own defense, and that this is a result of post-traumatic stress disorder, and that is a result of his confinement in a Navy brig for many years without charges, and we've seen just a little bit about the terms of his confinement, which is so extreme, they are so extreme, as to be cruel and unusual. What's your comment on the way that Jose Padilla was purportedly treated in custody and this argument being put forward by his attorneys?
Well, I think it... It's very important that confirms, you know, what we know about the brig, and I can give you a little more personal information about that in a second. But you know, where the it essentially was to create a prison beyond the law, right here in the United States. Brutal mistreatment, prolonged isolation, individuals in a by themselves, total isolation for 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, no one to talk to, repeated interrogation under very coercive and abusive conditions. I know from the Padilla case, but also because I represent the remaining individual who was at the brig.
That's Al Mari?
Yes, Ali Al Mari. Uh-huh. Who underwent a very similar mistreatment to what Padilla underwent during periods of time he was at the brig, and with very, very deleterious effects on him.
Well, give us a description, please, of this is the Navy brig in Charleston, South Carolina, right?
That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
The Brig is a prison where it typically houses military prisoners, individuals from the U.S. military, the Navy, who commit, criminal offenses while in service, court-martialed, and, it's the Navy jail. But what they've done for the enemy combatants who were there, Jose Padilla, Ali Almari, and Yasser Hamdi, for some time before them, is to, they have them in a totally separate part of the Brig. They don't see anybody else, and they are they're denied, have been denied basic necessities. They're subjected to, a range of mistreatment. Almari, for example, was denied things as basic as soap, toilet paper, toothpaste for periods of time, all as part of, we believe, a deliberate interrogation plan, an illegal interrogation plan. It really is a, torture in the United States.
Mm-hmm. Now, with that, give us a little information about Ali Almari. I understand that he was a legal resident of the United States, but not a U.S. citizen.
That's correct. He was a lawful resident. He was a immigrant, like millions of others. He came here with his family to study, to get a master's degree. He was arrested in December of 2001, charged with a 2 months later with a criminal charges, making false statements to the FBI and fraud charges. Pled not guilty, maintained his innocence, and prepared to contest the charges at trial. And then about a year and a half later, right on the eve of trial and on the eve of a hearing to suppress illegally seized evidence, the government came to court one day with a piece of paper, an order signed by the president, saying he was an enemy combatant and essentially stripping him of his rights and sending him off to the military Brig, where he was held completely incommunicado for almost a year and a half. Wasn't even permitted to talk to his attorneys, to us, to the International Commission for the Red Cross, and as I said, denied basic necessities as well as core religious items like the Quran, which was used as an interrogation tool. Really things that are never supposed to happen and never happened before in America.
And is this for you surreal? Is this surreal to see?
It is. These cases, especially you look at the Almari and the Padilla cases, are in some sense crossing the Rubicon. I mean, this is, individuals in the United States arrested here and held, in secret military detention. I mean, it's what you read about in police states and things before September 11th. You never would think would happen in America, where, individuals are charged and tried, and if they've committed wrongdoing, are punished, but where we adhere to, basic due process. But this is, this kind of thing has never happened in the history of the United States, and it should never happen again.
In the 1970s, it was quite a cause celeb, but Alexander Solzhenitsyn, I believe, was ejected from the Soviet Union, and he published a series of books about the Gulag Archipelago, the system of detention camps in Soviet Russia that dated back to the Stalin era. And I find it frightening, Jonathan Haffetz, that we really are embracing many of these same techniques and doing so in the name of security, liberty, and freedom.
I think that's right. I mean, I always like to be careful in making the comparisons in terms of the scale and things that are done, but I agree with you. There is a striking similarity in the way you described it, and just, in terms of doing what, is deemed necessary. And not following, basic rule of law and basic values, and having, the idea that the government, in particular the, the president, is beyond or above the rule of law. And I think that there's a similarity in the notion of creating prisons, a system of prisons outside the law. We have the Brig in the United States. We, of course, have Guantanamo. We also have places like Bagram Air Base, which are even, we know even less about and are even, worse in terms of lack of due process. And we do have, in a sense, an archipelago of extra-legal detention that the administration has tried to set up.
Now, as I understand it, the court decision on Tuesday in the case of Boumediene versus George W. Bush was a consolidation of 63 different cases, all seeking court review or a right of habeas corpus. Was your client, Ali Almari, one of those 63, or is that case still considered separate?
No, that's a separate case. His case is now pending in the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals. which there were arguments on February 1st in Richmond, Virginia, and he's, you know, we're awaiting a decision. And it, it's you know, it's different because you know, he was, you know, arrested in the United States, which so there's a different, there's some different, you know, legal issues that it, it, the case raises, and it's,
and he's never been held offshore, right?
That's correct. So, so the government's, you know, certainly we believe the individuals at Guantanamo also have constitutional rights, but even under the government's view, Ali Omari has constitutional protections. The government's view is that the Constitution stops at the shores. Outside of that, Guantanamo and elsewhere, the president is the law unto himself and is free to do, you know, essentially what he pleases. Does not have to follow basic due process, basic protections of international human rights law, like the prohibition against torture, you know, can create extra legal or lawless zones for people outside, or at least non-citizens outside the United States.
Mm-hmm. So is the decision that was issued by the Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia, does that create a precedent that would apply to your client, or is the distinction that he was a legal resident, was not captured or held off of our soil?
No, it would not apply. I mean, the two judges who voted to reject habeas corpus for the Guantanamo detainees recognized that all individuals, citizen and non-citizen, in the United States have a constitutional right to habeas corpus.
But doesn't the Military Commissions Act attempt to abrogate that by permitting the president to determine who an unlawful enemy combatant is, and it doesn't define that as a non-resident or non-citizen?
Right, but it's a if you read the statute, it was, you know, intended to apply to we believe individuals you know, at Guantanamo. I believe it's unconstitutional, but that's, you know, who Congress clearly was intending to affect. But certainly, if it's read as applying to a lawful resident alien, an immigrant in the United States who could be swept off the street and secretly detained without judicial review, it is a blatant suspension of the writ of habeas corpus and must be struck down by the courts.
We're talking with Jonathan Haffitz. He's from the Brennan Center. That's at the New York University School of Law in New York, of course. And that's named for the former Justice Brennan?
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. And what is the focus of your work there? Is it specifically on these kind of critical constitutional issues, or do you get involved in other cases as well?
Well, it's certainly on these critical constitutional issues in the field of liberty and national security, try to promote a rights-respecting national security policy that balances liberty and national security. But the center also is very heavily involved in other areas of work central to democracy and justice. We have a very large program that seeks campaign finance reform and the right to vote, and also a program seeking access to justice for individuals in the United States, regardless of economic class or race or gender. So we have a range of programs that try to fulfill the ideals of former Justice Brennan and American democracy.
Jonathan, earlier today I Googled you, and there was a comment that came up regarding Judge Anna Diggs Taylor and the NSA wiretapping issues that she has heard at her federal court in Detroit. Have you been a party to any of those cases, or just an observer?
Well, we filed a friend of the court brief on behalf of civil rights, leading civil rights organizations, including the NAACP, which essentially explain to the court, as a you know, friend of the court, the dangers of unchecked electronic surveillance, surveillance without a warrant, and how they'd been used in the, it had been used in the past, particularly in the 1960s and 70s, to target civil rights groups, including the NAACP, Martin Luther King Jr.
Sure, COINTELPRO.
That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly right. Yep. And that this was, in some sense, history repeating itself, and that's why Congress had passed, you know, a law to prohibit that abuse, to try to establish a warrant procedure, but which the executive has done a end run around. Its attempt to establish unchecked presidential power.
Mm-hmm. We're going to take a break and return. Jonathan Haffitz is our guest. As I mentioned, he is associate counsel in the Liberty and National Security Project at the Brennan Center for Justice, New York University School of Law. We're talking about the rights of detainees, and in fact, your rights and mine under the Constitution. which I believe is under serious attack right now. If you have a question or comment, bring it on now, toll free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Hey everybody, this is Larry from Acme Coffee Roasting Company in Seaside, and I want to know if you're tired of wading through hacky sackers and laptop zombies just to receive a mediocre cup of joe by some underwhelmed employee somewhere. Well, you come on down to Acme Coffee Roasting Company, meet the local hardworking folks all around you. We roast the coffee every day, we're owner-operated, and totally qualified. Why don't you come on down and see how we turned a little alleyway in Seaside, California into a place to grab a good cup of joe at the corner of Broadway and Contra Costa? Come on down, my friends, just drink it. Resist corporate coffee.
Join me, Deborah Lindsay, each Sunday afternoon at 2 for Tomorrow Matters. We'll be matching the global problems of today with the local solutions for a better tomorrow. I'll bring in the guests, and you call with the questions and ideas, and collectively we'll set the standards for a more sustainable future, because for all of us, tomorrow matters. Join me right here on KRXA 540 AM for Tomorrow Matters each Sunday at 2.
One Day Income Tax Service, family owned and operated since 1944, specializes in year-round professional tax preparation. Do you want your refund quickly? Stop by One Day Income Tax Service. They offer tax preparation at reasonable rates and work to meet the needs of military families with the capacity to process all out-of-state returns. If you prefer to prepare your own return at home, they can help you expedite your refund by filing your return electronically. Let One Day Income Tax Service assist you with your return and maximize your refund. Stop by 885 Broadway Avenue in Seaside, where no appointment is necessary. Looking for quick, professional, and reasonable tax return preparation? Visit One Day Income Tax Service, 885 Broadway Avenue, Seaside, or call 394-8010. That's 831-394-8010. One Day Income Tax Service, where you walk in with a copy of your most recent tax return, personal ID, and W-2 1099 info for 2006, and you walk out with your completed tax return.
The Peter B. Collins Show, 9 minutes away from the hour. We continue our conversation about the rights of detainees, the American Constitution, and the enduring concept of habeas corpus, which Attorney General Gonzalez says he's not sure is embedded in the U.S. Constitution.
A revolution never comes with a warning. A revolution never sends you an omen. A revolution just arrived like the morning. Bring the alarm, we come to wake up the snoring. They're telling you to never worry about the future. They're telling you to never worry about the torture. They're telling you that you will never see the horror. Spend it all today and we will bill you tomorrow. Free peace, and bank accounts.
That's Michael Franti and Spearhead. It's the title tune from the latest CD called Yell Fire, all about torture and some of the other issues that are very important these days. Peter in Chicago joins us as we continue our conversation with attorney Jonathan Hafitz from NYU School of Law. Peter, go right ahead.
Hello, Peter, and I'd like to say hello to your guests. I would like to ask your guests, although the court made these rulings, I'm under the assumption that aren't we bound by international laws and Geneva Convention treaties? In terms of how to treat people, whether or not they're captured within the United States or on a combat field.
I think that's absolutely right. We certainly are. We're, you know, a party to many treaties, the Convention Against Torture, which categorically prohibits torture and other cruel, inhumane, degrading treatment, as well as the Geneva Conventions, which set forth the laws of war and which have been studiously followed by the United States up until in every conflict, up until the events of September 11th. And that's exactly right. Those impose obligations on the United States. And should be followed, and we're bound to follow them no matter where an individual happens to be picked up or detained. You're absolutely right.
Right. Well, we're not obligated to do it. I mean, it's according to the way the Constitution is written, those treaties actually become the law of the land. And I'd like to know how in the world this administration can get around by just simply stating a law and then all of a sudden, everybody acting like, oh my God, the president said this is a law, so now we have to abide by it and go through 10 years worth of court battles, to stop him from doing this to people. I mean, there's got to be other methods of restraining this type of absolute lawlessness, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, I think so. I mean, the courts have been the major battleground, but certainly Congress, would be another. And hopefully with the new Congress that's come in, there will be, you know, restrictions put on the president's power. Essentially, he has acknowledged the Geneva Conventions are law, but has, taken unto himself the power to interpret them and says that they don't apply to the detention of individuals at Guantanamo or elsewhere, that they're outside the Geneva Convention. They created this category of persons called the enemy combatant, which sounds like a prisoner of war, but really has nothing to do with a prisoner of war. Individuals who often were not fighting against the United States, were just picked up based on suspicion, and who were not given any of the protections that prisoners of war even non-prisoners of war, civilians captured during wartime. It's to create a category of persons outside the law.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I mean, I don't know. I'm just absolutely amazed that he can get away with this.
I share your outrage, Peter. Thank you for a thoughtful call today. Jonathan Haffetz, there are a number of proposals now to try to fix some of these problems that are embedded in the Graham Amendment that retroactively attempted to deny habeas corpus, and then the Military Commissions Act, which was passed and signed last October. Senator Leahy and Arlen Specter, Republican, they have a bill that they've introduced, and also Senator Dodd, I believe, was the first to make a legislative proposal to fix the Military Commissions Act. Do you have a favorite there, or would you offer any analysis of those two proposals?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think they're both positive steps forward. I think the Senator Dodd bill goes further in restoring basic American values. It's a clearer repudiation of the of not only the recent Military Commissions Act, but the Detainee Treatment Act, which limit habeas corpus, and it also seeks to restore the balance and the respect for the laws of war and the Geneva Conventions that the previous caller raised, to kind of put the United States back to a place where it follows the laws of criminal law and the laws of armed combat, and prevents this limits this definition of enemy combatant to create and run around basic freedoms and protections.
Mm-hmm. And where would you suggest our listeners go to get more information on these efforts to fix the problem and to put the U.S., you know, back into conformity with our own Constitution and the Geneva Conventions and the other international treaties and laws you cited?
Well, we certainly have a lot of information on our website, www.brennancenter.org. There's just a lot of other stuff on the, you know, on the internet, a lot of other wonderful organizations that are involved, and just in the, you know, in the newspapers, and there are increasingly a number of books, including one published by my colleagues at the Brennan Center for Justice. They'll be coming out soon, called Unchecked and Unbalanced, which is a wonderful overview to the issues of the day. It's Frederick Schwartz and Aziz Huck. So that's a great way to learn more about the really bad things that are happening.
Great. We'll watch for that when it's published. I want to thank you for your time, and more importantly, I want to thank you for the work you've been doing. You represent me and many other Americans who desperately want to see us conform with our own Constitution and international standards.
Oh, well, thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, sir. That's Jonathan Hafitz, as we mentioned, Associate Counsel in the Liberty National Security Project at the Brennan Center for Justice at the New York University School of Law. Well, that's it for our interview portion of today's Peter B. Collins Show. After the news, we're going to open up the phone lines and talk with you about the issues we've been discussing. And I want to give you an opportunity to comment on the back and forth between the Clinton campaign and the Obama campaign over the last 48 hours. I think it gives us a stunning insight into the politics of this campaign season and into the candidates as well. So if you'd like to talk with us in the free speech zone, we're going to take all calls next hour. No interviews or other distractions. 888-5-PETER-B is our toll-free number, 888-573-8372. And if you want to get to the head of the line, call now. What happens is people wait till the end of the hour, and then the switchboard loads up, and we can't get to every call. So if you have an opinion that you're burning to share with us, get on the line right now and just burn it up on your cell phone. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. The Peter B. Collins Show is produced in San Francisco by Matt Renner. Visit our website, peterbcollins.com, for access to our archives and the live stream.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540.
If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
Every night, Jack Thomas camps out on a cold, lonely street corner. Tonight, some people almost brought him something to eat. Someone almost drove him to a shelter. Another almost brought him a warm blanket. And Jack Thomas, well, he almost made it through the night. Sometimes instead of giving, we almost give. But that's the same as not giving at all. Don't almost give. Give. Visit don'talmostgive.org. A message from the Ad Council.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Peter King.
You're all done with me.
That's Broward County, Florida Judge Larry Seidlin after he awarded custody of Anna Nicole Smith's body to the guardian of her five-month-old daughter, whose paternity remains in question. That was also on his mind.
Submit to a DNA and find out who the father is. It's enough baloney here.
And when it was all over, CBS News correspondent Gwen Belton says two of the paternal candidates, including boyfriend Howard K. Stern, met reporters.
Standing by Stern's side after court, Smith's ex-boyfriend, Larry Burkhead, and her estranged mother, Virgie Arthur. She had wanted her daughter buried in Texas. So far, no specifics about Anna Nicole's Bahamas burial have been released.
And now there is word that Smith's mother, Virgie Arthur, may be appealing Judge Seidlin's decision.
The U.S. soldiers and Marines now face a new enemy in Iraq, chemical bombs full of poisonous chlorine gas. CBS News correspondent Lara Logan says the military has been fighting back.
They raided a large bomb-making factory near Fallujah, where they say they uncovered three vehicle bombs, including a truck, that were being assembled with about 65 propane tanks of different chemicals. The problem is these aren't that hard to make. Using ordinary chemicals, which, like chlorine, are easily accessible.
16 people have been killed in the chlorine attacks. Call it an electronic strip search of sorts. A new airport scanner that can find weapons that X-rays can't. Earlier versions provided more and more private details. CBS News correspondent Bob Orr reports it's still an issue.
Privacy experts are still annoyed by this because they worry that the government will take these images, use them, compile them in some kind of database, and that once the image is recorded, it will be around forever. The government's very sensitive to that. They say that's not going to be the case. The images, first of all, will only be screened by a screener in a very remote, private location. so the public won't be seeing the images. And once they're looked at, they will be quickly discarded.
CBS News has also learned the TSA will start random screening of employees at Atlanta's Hartsfield Airport. The program will expand to nearly 500 others. An illegal immigration crackdown at a nationwide janitorial service, that after an investigation of cleaning crews at a northern Michigan resort.
Over 220 individuals were arrested at 63 locations in 17 states and the District of Columbia, including 195 who were arrested last night on those charges.
Customs and Immigration spokeswoman Jamie Zweiback says three company officials were also arrested on federal fraud and tax charges. Uncle Sam says it's going to keep a closer eye on the food processing business. CBS's Wyatt Andrews has that.
This is all about the safety of processed meats like hamburgers, hot dogs, deli meats, and sandwich meats. The USDA basically says it is trying to put more inspections in plants with poor safety records and spend less time in plants with proven safety records.
The FDA says the inspections will start in April. This is CBS News.
If you're living in a space that's too small or too large or too old or just too ugly, here's what you do. Take a 2x4 to the problem. Maybe some 2x6s. Heck, just take all your lumber and give it to a member of the American Institute of Architects. We'll design a home that fits your needs and your budget to a T. Call an AIA architect early so your living space won't be too this or too that, but just right. AIA. Good design makes a difference. Visit AIA.org.
We wanted to move in 90 days, and that was our goal.
Selling a home can be a challenge.
I've been through this type of market before. I'm going to be there every step of the way to guide them through it.
Realtors I work with know the markets that they're in.
They know how to market it. They know how to sell it.
Interest rates are at historic lows, which means more buyers are in the market for a home like yours. Every market's different. Call a realtor today.
The market is always changing, and I'll always be ready for it.
Only realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
It's one of Broadway's biggest all-time hits.
Springtime for Hitler and Germany.
But late word is that Mel Brooks' mega hit, The Producers, will close in April after 6 years on Broadway. Equality for Women, it's finally come to Wimbledon.
Better late than never. 7 years into the 21st century, the powers that be at Wimbledon have announced that women champions will now get the same prize money as men.
It's been a long time coming. It's exactly the right moment for this to happen.
Tennis writer Simon Landy, Wimbledon's the last of the four Grand Slam tournaments to adopt an equal pay policy. Vicky Barker, CBS News, London.
For the third time in a week, Britney Spears is back in rehab. She and her estranged husband reportedly agreed he'll take custody of their two kids. For now, her mother is said to have driven her to the clinic. Stocks took a big hit for the second day in a row, the Dow finishing down more than 52, but the NASDAQ was up more than 6.5. I'm Peter King, CBS News.
You know what's weird? I just signed up for Progressive Car Insurance and saved an extra $50 because I did it online, but their website couldn't be simpler. Maybe if they had one of those sites where your wife ends up telling you to stop yelling at the computer, you're frightening the children, I'd be like, okay, Progressive, you totally owe me $50 for that ordeal. But no, you sign up, it's easy, you save $50.
Go to Progressive.com, sign up online and save an extra $50. Progressive, it's about you and it's about time.
Progressive Direct Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Available in most states and situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Need professional-looking documents? Office Depot can help. From small jobs to bound presentations, bring in your document or submit it at OfficeDepot.com. We'll ship virtually anywhere. Plus, our work is backed by the Office Depot Satisfaction Guarantee. Office Depot, taking care of business.
Whoa, Office Depot!
Certain restrictions apply. See store for details.
Welcome to the Free Speech Zone on the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm your humble host, Peter B., inviting your calls toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Any topic, any viewpoint, from anywhere within the sound of my voice.
Presidential elections are planned distractions to divert attention from the action behind the scenes. Like a game of chess when the house is a mess, or a petty money squabble when your marriage is in trouble, or a football game when there's rioting in the streets. It's just another movie, another
I guess the 2008 campaign season is now in full swing. That's the earliest I've ever seen. But hey, with climate change, we got cherry blossoms and daffodils up about a month early here in California right now, so I guess it's par for the course. Well, there's been an exchange between the camps of Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton over the past 48 hours. And one listener, Ruth, emailed and said she thinks this is a trivial thing. And I disagree with Ruth on this. I think it's quite telling. And I think it's worth talking about because what happened, in case you haven't been up to speed on this, David Geffen, who is a Hollywood mega millionaire, used to run Geffen Records, and, you know, he's a movie mogul, and he's an out gay and a big supporter of Democratic causes. He raised $18 million for Bill Clinton as president, and at some point, he got off the Clinton bus. It appears to be around the Lewinsky impeachment phase. And so this week, Geffen gathered his friends in Hollywood, raised over $1 million in one night for Barack Obama. And he gave an interview to Maureen Dowd of the New York Times, in which he was highly critical of Hillary Clinton, who he described as incredibly ambitious, and he slammed both of the Clintons for what he said, their ability to lie easily. And there were some other comments in there, too. This started a crossfire, because the following morning, or yesterday morning, just shortly after people had gotten through breakfast and their New York Times, the Clinton campaign fired back. And they demanded that Barack Obama repudiate the remarks of his supporter, David Geffen, and return all of the money that was raised at that fundraiser. Now, this salvo came from Howard Wolfson, who is the mouthpiece and a real, real tough guy, a fighter, for Senator Clinton. He appeared last night on the Hardball Show, if you had a chance to see it. And it was really offensive. It really was. Because Wolfson tries to be the gutter fighter, and Senator Clinton tries to rise above it. She was at a forum in Carson City, Nevada, yesterday, with virtually all of the Democratic candidates except for Barack Obama. And the only comment she really made was that she doesn't believe in the politics of personal destruction. Here's the quote. She said, candidates and their allies should not be engaging in the politics of personal destruction. Now, David Geffen's comments were strong. They were critical. But in my view, they are well within bounds. And if Hillary Clinton is so thin-skinned that they've got to go ballistic, go nuclear, over remarks of a former supporter, and then claim somehow that Obama has the responsibility to shut him up and return the money? I'm sorry. It's way off base. And Steve Pizzo, who blogs on the web at newsforreal.com, posted a powerful piece today, and I'm going to read part of it to you. Please, please, please don't do this to us. Please, he wrote. Do 40% of Democrats really want Hillary? Really? That's the question I ask myself each time I see polls that say Hillary Clinton is the choice of 40% of Dems. He says, what the hell's wrong with you people? Are you the Democratic Party's version of the GOP's red state morons, the ones who put George W. Bush in the Oval Office twice? Because by supporting Hillary, you're vying for precisely that sort of infamy. Listen, he writes, and listen well, Hillary zombies. Pay attention, damn it. Hillary Clinton is Tom DeLay on estrogen. And that's neither a sexist remark, Pizzo goes on, or the slightest exaggeration. I'm not talking about her politics. I'm talking about her stone-cold, calculating, triangulating soul. That woman is not worthy of your support. Hillary is just as mean as Tom DeLay, just as self-centered, and even more shameless, and a more principle-free conniver. And as David Geffen told Maureen Dowd, she's a liar. Just like Tom DeLay, Hillary has surrounded herself with advisors, handlers, and sycophantic gophers that can best be described the political equivalent of a mob. Like DeLay's former political mob, Hillary's gang is mean, plays dirty, plays for keeps. You think I'm kidding? Okay, put your mind where your vote is and go to this website. Watch Chris Matthews' interview yesterday with Hillary's chief spokesman, Howard Wolfson. I'll wait here till you return. He goes on. Now, is that what you want to replace the Bush presidency with? Is that the kind of slash-and-burn politics we need for another 4 or 8 years? Do you really want to replace Tony Snow's obfuscation and lies with Howard Wolfson's mean-spirited insinuations and transparent connivance? Really? I'll leave the rest of it for you to read at newsforreal.com because I want to get to your phone calls. But I agree with Steve Piso. And the hypocrisy of Hillary saying that, we, the Democrats, shouldn't engage in the politics of personal destruction. Sorry, Hillary, you're either thin-skinned or you're so mean that Steve Piso has you pegged. 888-5-PETER-B. I look forward to hearing from you. And if you're a first-time caller, get on the line now. 888-573-8372. We go to Tristan first in East Lansing, Michigan. Welcome.
Hey, Peter.
How you doing?
Good. I wanted to talk to you about this Find an Illegal Immigrant Day thing at NYU.
New York University, yeah.
There was a similar event held at the University of Michigan here.
Really?
Titled the Catch an Illegal Immigrant Day. And
Now, that was in Ann Arbor, not in Lansing.
That was in Ann Arbor, but the local chapter of the conservative group that was called the Young Americans for Freedom, they were going to have a similar event also called Catch an Illegal Immigrant Day and a Fun with Guns event. And they were roundly criticized by both the school officials and the student government. And just there was a big outcry against them doing these things. And they ended up not doing it. But
well, Tristan, it's interesting. I'm looking at a blog that's run by the New York Times. It's called The Lead, L-E-D-E. Mm-hmm. And it reads, this one at NYU Today is reminiscent of the white students-only scholarship stunt offered last November by the College Republicans at BU, Boston University. Those seeking the token $250 reward, which was supposed to spark debate about race and ethnicity-based grants, were required to maintain a 3.2 grade point average, submit a photo, and describe what it means to be a Caucasian American today. I mean, that is a thinly veiled stunt that the Klan would use.
Right. See, these events tell me two things. One is that the Republicans really have trouble disguising their latent racism.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I think they're really desperate for membership because they've been trying these provocative things lately.
Huh.
And I mean, every time it gets lots of media coverage. And,
well, all I can say is, this is pure speculation, and I'm going to admit it up front here, this reeks of the kind of stunts that David Horowitz and his other right-wing cronies have pulled on campuses over the last few years, trying to stir up support for conservative causes by bashing alleged liberal influence on the academic world.
Right. Just pretty pathetic. They're certainly not going to convince anyone with these demonstrations that they've been doing. The Young Americans for Freedom on my campus really started to do some odd things, like they were going for the Catch the Illegal Immigrant Day event. Mm-hmm. They were going to have some brown-skinned person, and the people were going to like pick them out of a lineup or something crazy like that.
Well, at NYU, apparently they try to avoid that racism tag.
Right. I actually read an article about
that.
It was slightly different.
The individual who was Waldo and had to be found was wearing a sign that says, "I'm an illegal immigrant," and apparently was Caucasian.
Right.
But that doesn't really
it doesn't
erase the damage or the intent that we can see there. Tristan, thanks for checking in from Lansing. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Nice to talk with you. 888-5 Peter B. We'll take more of your calls after the break here and all hour long. There's one line open right now, so if you want to share a comment, we want to hear from you. 888-573-8372. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens, he cares. The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the Old Granary Building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
This slippery traffic, so I do take it a little slow throughout there. Also in Santa Cruz, southbound 1 before Morrissey Boulevard, we got an injury accident. There's two vehicles mixed it up. They have been cleared over to the right-hand shoulder CHP as well on scene. Just waiting for a couple tow trucks to arrive and clear that out of there. Watch for stall in Prunedale, Langley Canyon Road at San Miguel Canyon Road. This is a vehicle actually stuck in one of the lanes. No lane information just yet, but CHP as well as a tow truck en route to pick up that as well. This report is brought to you by Puerto Rico. Explore beyond the shore. Fly to a place where you can stroll through an authentic 16th century Spanish fort, and it's right next door. No passport required. Puerto Rico, explore beyond the shore. Visit gotoporcorito.com. I'm Diane with traffic on KRXA.
Driving all night, my hands wet on the wheel. It's the Peter B. Collins Show, rocking you homeward this evening. We favor electric guitars and progressive viewpoints. We're in the free speech zone. All our lines are taken down, but when we end a call, you can dial in toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Brian is in New Hampshire, Manchester. Welcome, Brian.
Hi, Peter. You know, as a true progressive, I don't care a bit about the catfight between the two elitist megalomaniacs, Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton. But about that thing about the catchy an immigrant program, why don't we have a catchy fascist brat trust fund receiving son or daughter of some poor profiteer or misery profiteer?
You're on it, Brian. You're on it. That's great.
And talking about the immigration crisis, the phony immigration crisis with Halliburton about to build these concentration camps and get more profit out of that like they are out of the evil war in Iraq.
These are family detention centers. They're not prisons, Brian.
Yeah, I think that's about the same thing Hitler originally called Dachau as he first opened in 1933. That's what. The fact is,
Brian,
the immigration
Brian.
Crisis. I like the so-called the mavericks of the airwaves, like CNN's Lou Dobbs and that Pat Buchanan lad. They don't stay on the real source of the problem. The corporations, the multinational corporations, that hire hundreds of thousands or more of these illegal workers every year, and these phony militiamen. The real Minutemen came from my part of the country. The real patriots in the late 18th century. They're not these phony Minutemen, these publicity hounds in their camouflage jammies there on the border. They're picking on some poor Mexican peasant, starving, dehydrated peasant. When the real source of the problem is the fact that these corporations, the multinationals, employ these illegal immigrants, and that's the incentive for them to come across the border in the first place. They don't spend daily protesting outside of Archer Daniel Midland Corporation. No, they're too afraid to do that because they know their private security firms will be on them faster than white on rice. Now, I'm sick of this, Peter. It's a phony crisis. Lou Dobbs and Patrick Buchanan are as much mavericks as an armadillo. Armadillo is a reptile. I thought it was a reptile. You know, that's what the armadillo. I'm thinking that what we really need is to have George Bush impeached and go back to him and Barney Bush playing with the armadillos at his ranch in Crawford, Texas.
Hey, Brian.
What?
You're really on it today.
Okay, and
thanks.
I just wanted to say, you know, the armadillo was also called a Panzer Schlag by the German POWs in Texas in World War II. It means
all right,
armored pig.
That's more than I need to know, but
and
Brian,
also one
Brian,
last thing, and then,
Brian.
And you're free of me. The misery's over, lad. They were also called Hoover Hogs in the Depression era because people couldn't afford even a chicken in every pot that Republican President Hoover promised.
Hey, Brian.
Thank you, sir.
You're ready. You need your own talk show.
Okay.
Go
well,
for
well,
it, Kate.
Sign me up.
Thanks for your call.
All right.
Always a pleasure. Roman and Mesa, you're next. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter.
Hi.
Listen, I just wanted to tell you, I really don't care about what's going on between the two media candidates in the Democratic Party. However, one of the things that does concern me is that all of the Democratic candidates were in Carson City except Barack Obama. And, you know, if you can't be there for a union event, that creates some concern for me.
Really?
I
mean, I don't think that was a command performance. I don't see the significance of that, and I don't believe Obama consciously chose not to be there. I think he had other plans that day. I mean, I haven't seen his itinerary, so I'm only speculating. But I really don't think that his absence is a big issue. This is way early in the campaign. And the people who showed up there were vying for television time because most of them, besides Hillary, can't get it.
You mean besides Hillary or Barack? They both get it.
Yeah.
And they're both corporate candidates, and they're both media candidates. The real working people had their candidates there. So as a labor leader, I definitely take issue with your perception of it because, to me, the people who come to the working people are the people who ought to lead this country.
Well, Brian, Roman, if this were next year and the campaign was in full force, I could see your remark. But, you know, these are preliminaries. We haven't even had spring training yet. And to see the hardball tactics being used by the Clinton campaign, and I take your point that Obama is a media darling, but I think he's more than that, and I don't think he's nearly as captive to corporate interests as Senator Clinton is, or Senator Edwards, for that matter. So yep. I think that, you know, people are hardening their positions very early here, and many of those 10 or 11 people who were on the stage yesterday won't be around next year for the primaries.
But, Peter, see, I look at it this way. If McCain will go to Roberts University because that's the group he wants to attract, then Obama should have came to Labor.
Okay, but again, it is so early in the process that I think you're making a big deal out of a very minor event.
Okay.
So, let's talk again. Thank you, Roman. Next we go to Leonard in Glendale. Hello, Leonard. You're on the air today.
Hey, Peter. Yeah, I mean, you're right. It's early in the game, but I'm always concerned too, you know, when these people, because I'm strong, you know, on the unions. My father was a union member for 50 years and, all that. But getting off of that, basically, I just wanted to say, I just want to call up and say thanks, because when you take people's calls, you know, it's just so nice to hear somebody who's not constantly attacking people calling in. I mean, you may tear them apart with your reasoning. Another thing that, you know, but the thing is, that's a really refreshing thing to hear. But I'm very troubled now, because I do believe this nation, and I don't want to use scare tactics, I don't believe in violence, except in self-defense, but I believe this nation is getting nearer and nearer, very close to a revolution. A lot of people are saying, no duh, Leonard, but telling you right now, if all these cases going up to the Supreme Court, these people do what Bush wants them to do, and they don't follow their oaths, you know, as judicial members, they're asking for a revolution. That's not coming from me. I'm just saying, you can see the signs right now.
Well, there are many,
you know, and once that happens,
there are many,
you know,
Leonard, there are many people who acknowledge your point that this president is brooking a constitutional crisis, and I think
right.
It may come very soon. I'm quite concerned about it. We're, you know, that there's a possibility of martial law, nationalization of the federalization of the National Guard, and now Joe Lieberman says that he might exit the Democratic Party and throw the Senate to the Republicans. These are difficult times. Thanks for your call, Leonard.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffeehouse in Soquel Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in a friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive and Porter Street in Soquel.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks?
come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from Thinker Toys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from Thinker Toys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, or the just renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
Remember the time you almost volunteered to work in a soup kitchen? Or when you almost visited the Veterans Hospital? Or when you almost brought dinner to your neighbor with AIDS? Remember all the times you almost helped, almost gave? Well, it's only human, this almost giving. But the truth is, it's the same as not giving at all. Don't almost give, give. Visit our website at don'talmostgive.org. A message from the Ad Council.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. We're in the free speech zone. There are a couple of lines open if you'd like to join this conversation. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And during that day-long commercial break, I know you're glad it's over, so am I, Matt Renner, our able producer, pointed out to me that say what you will about Barack Obama and the fact that he wasn't in Carson City at the labor confab, kind of a beauty parade yesterday, but he has so far decided to freeze out Fox News. He won't talk to their reporters. He has decided that after this phony madrasa story surfaced and was hyped and amped up by Fox News Channel, that he's just not going to deal with them. I think that's really refreshing. Make them work for it. Well, one of the more disturbing items that came in my email today was forwarded by Margaret, one of our internet listeners in Louisville, Kentucky. Thank you, Margaret. And this is attributed to the new publication called The Politico. And they're on the web at politico.com. They publish a broadsheet, a hard copy of a newspaper in Washington every day. And this is an upstart, a startup, probably both of those. Anyway, they write, Senator Joseph Lieberman of Connecticut told the Politico Thursday that he has no immediate plans to switch parties, but suggested that Democratic opposition to funding the war in Iraq might change his mind. Now, I both respect and resent the pivotal position occupied by this former Democrat. And, of course, I'm deeply opposed to the positions Lieberman has taken, particularly regarding the Bush administration and the war in Iraq. But for him to use this threat at such a crucial time when this war is, you know, falling apart and Americans have gotten wind of it, and he's essentially running cover for the corrupt Bush administration and their amoral war. Yet, this also explains the problem that Harry Reid has confronted and why he had to be a little delicate in trying to push through the anti-surge resolution. Got 56 votes, but not Joe Lieberman's. And if Lieberman, you know, caucuses with the Republicans, it throws control of the Senate to them It blocks any future non-binding resolutions. It makes it that much more difficult to find the votes to end debate, to attach restrictions to future funding for Iraq. It makes it that much more difficult to change the Military Commissions Act and end our flirtation with torture and other illegal atrocities. And it's painful to say this, but Joe Lieberman is in the driver's seat. Oh, boy. And he'll drive us right off a cliff and tell us how great he is. Deborah in Phoenix, thanks for holding. You're next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter B.
Hi, Deborah.
But isn't it his vote that ultimately matters, not so much his political affiliation?
No, because if he caucuses with the Republicans, they take control of the Senate, they chair the committees, they set the agenda, and it would be a very serious setback to the minor gains that Democrats achieved in last November's elections.
What a rat. Anyway, I really liked that piece you read earlier. That was funny about Hillary.
Newsforreal.com. Go check it out. It's a very powerful essay.
And I'm afraid my instincts about her were right. She just is too calculating. She was silent too long. When you compare her to a Russ Feingold, I mean, there is no comparison.
Yeah.
And
or
if she
even,
were a
you know,
leader, she would have spoken up on so many important issues long ago.
Deborah, let's be generous. Let's compare her to a moderate Democrat, like John Edwards,
yeah.
A guy who has said clearly, I was wrong, I regret my vote. And
right.
She, you know, she was in the same boat with him in October of 2002. He, of course, was angling to run for president at that time, and one could say that his vote was even more calculating than hers at that time.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a while back, and I'm willing to let bygones be bygones if people learn from those mistakes. And Edwards is clearly repentant and wants to make amends for what he did. She is not, and she's trying to camouflage her previous failures by positioning herself as the one who really wants to get the troops out now. And, of course, you know, she didn't support Feingold's censure of Bush over the NSA spying program. She didn't support John Kerry's relatively courageous stand last June and July when he introduced legislation to withdraw American troops by a date certain. She's really late to this party, and she's trying to act like she's the one who sent out the invitations.
Yeah, I know. She lost me a while ago. What are Edwards' corporate connections?
Well, he's a trial lawyer, and he came out of the kind of conservative, pro-corporate part of the Democratic Party.
Mm-hmm.
He has articulated, you know, starting with his Two Americas spiel in 2004 and buttressed with his work on behalf of poor Americans since then. I think he has worked hard to offset that.
Mm-hmm.
But... you know, he's not a real liberal, in my view. He is a populist who has a focus on issues related to working families and poverty in this country. And I could support him. I have reservations, though, because he didn't carry a single state for the Kerry Edwards ticket in 2004. And it was thought that because he's a Southerner and an attractive younger candidate, that he was going to be able to make some inroads there. So he's got to prove to me, through the primary process, that those factors no longer apply. He's got to show us that he can win some southern states,
and
he has to show that he can broaden his appeal beyond the pretty boy who talks about two Americas.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Good to hear from you. Next to Barbara in Cave Creek. Hello, Barbara.
Hi, again. I just think that I'm not a Hillary fan, and I'm not an Obama fan,
mm-hmm.
but I think that, and I'm really not a Geffen fan, and I know from Once I Speak, and I think they started with the bashing, and she reacted with worse bashing, and I think that they really... I don't think they're calculating quite correctly in strategizing in that way and starting this early to be so openly, publicly supporting Obama when nobody else has even gotten a chance. And I just cannot stand those people. And I didn't see them support in any way, shape, or form Gore or Kerry, and I think they're disgusting. And
Wait. You're starting to talk the way the right does with these sweeping terms about the left. So define who you're talking about. You don't like David Geffen.
The Hollywood crew.
So you don't like anybody in Hollywood. Do you want them to just stop writing
Spielberg
checks?
And that whole DreamWorks group who put on the fundraiser.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that they put on a fundraiser and then, I mean, it's fine, raise money for who you want, but they make a big deal out of it by putting on some Hollywood fundraiser, which they know is going to get publicity, and then they bash.
Wait a minute. Not they. He, David Geffen, as an individual, gave an interview to Maureen Dowd, and he unloaded. He offered his unvarnished view of the Clintons, and he's clearly bitter, and I don't know exactly why. And, I don't think that his comments are that significant. I think that Hillary's reaction to them and her campaign's reaction are very significant. They treated this like a Bill Clinton bimbo eruption, like Jennifer Flowers just appeared and said she slept with Hillary. And
well, maybe he slept with David Geffen. I don't know.
just to be honest here, David Geffen once gave an interview after he acknowledged his homosexuality and said, gosh, in Hollywood, maybe he said he was bisexual at one point, and he said, it gives me twice as many opportunities on a Saturday night.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah. So I have no real love for David Geffen. He's produced some great records and a few good movies. And again, my point is here the reaction of the Clinton campaign. And I'm interested in Obama, but it's not like I'm ready to write him checks or endorse him. I like him because he's not Hillary.
Yeah, but I cannot. Okay, well, that's fine if you don't like Hillary, but I'm not. They're both from Illinois, and I don't particularly. And that's where I'm originally from.
Yeah.
And I don't particularly care for either of them. And I don't think he has enough experience, and I think for him to allow those comments to go on, and he knows that they're making these comments on his behalf and that they're raising money on his behalf. It is a slap in the face to Hillary, but it's a little too early to start this, and the Republicans are jumping for joy. And
well,
I think
now that's a more serious comment, Barbara, and I'm glad you made it. This is one of the things I'm very concerned about, is we have a lot of dissension in the progressive ranks. Air America attacked Ed Schultz, and Ed Schultz returned fire. There is dissension in the 9/11 truth movement. There's dissension in the voting integrity movement. And now we see, way early in the cycle, these candidates sniping at one another. And this really portends quite badly for Democratic fortunes in 2008 and holding on to this flimsy majority we have as we see the risk that Joe Lieberman poses right now.
Exactly.
And I think it's really important for progressives, including Democrats. You know, not all progressives are Democrats,
right.
and I'm one of those people. But I think it's important for those of us on the left to pick our battles.
Right.
And be very careful when we shoot our little pistols into the air, because we really don't know where those rounds are going to land and how they're going to be used. Barbara, as you very appropriately pointed out, we are creating ammunition for the right to use on whoever survives this grueling process.
Right. That's exactly.
And let's go back to Willie Horton. The first Willie Horton commercial was produced by Al Gore against Michael Dukakis in the primary in 1988. And what was his name? The Republican...
Dukakis.
No, the Republican campaign consultant, Lee Atwater.
Oh, right.
Lee Atwater.
He's on his deathbed for supporting Bush.
Yeah, but Lee Atwater took a look at what the Democrats used to slime each other that year and said, wow, this will work for Bush.
Right.
And it was one of the most effective pieces, and we need to guard against that. It's not like I want the candidates to all just sit politely and say, I'm for peace, love, and our children. But I do want them to avoid these kinds of broadsides. And, I think that David Geffen went too far, but I think that the Clinton campaign really overreacted.
Well, yes, I agree with you, but they didn't shoot the first shot. And it was shot by Geffen, and I just think people should be aware of, you know, who's shooting. and also the fact that Barack really should be distancing himself, whether he's, you know, he needs the money. Everybody needs the money. And, you know, he's going to Hollywood for the money, but he really should be careful about who's speaking, you know, on his behalf or perceived to be speaking on his behalf.
Well, that's where the Clinton campaign, again, tried to reframe this. Geffen spoke as an individual. If you read Maureen Dowd's piece, he's not presented as a spokesperson or a mouthpiece for Obama. He simply...
It doesn't matter. I mean, Obama should be very, you know, calling Maureen Dowd and saying, excuse me, but that's not me.
I don't agree with you, Barbara. I don't think Obama has any responsibility to rein in anybody who speaks, you know, against the Clintons and who happens to be supporting him right now.
Okay, well, that's probably true, but, you know, they really should be careful. You know, it's like, that's great you're supporting me. Do me a favor and let me know what you're going to say on my behalf before you say it.
Gotcha. All right, Barbara, sorry you don't like those candidates from the land of Blinken.
Sorry. I'm a Stevenson girl.
Great to hear from you. More of your calls coming up next. Grab a line, and if there's a Hillary supporter out there, we'll take your call first. 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. We're in the home stretch here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540.
Concerned about the steady increase in home mortgage interest rates? Don't panic or overreact. Now is the time to analyze the many available options and to choose the best possible course. Leverage the equity in your home to reduce or eliminate high interest and non-deductible debt. Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage, invites you for a free consultation in his Salinas offices at 201 John Street. To schedule your free Creative Mortgage consultation, call Victor at 757-0436 right now. That's 757-0436.
The Philly Sunshine Show. Philly Sunshine Show. With P-Lar. With P-Lar.
Sunday at 3 o'clock, we're going to be doing something new, something different, or we'll do the same old thing, take your phone calls. One thing we know for sure, I'll have something to say. What? I don't know. I never know until I've said it. Find out what's the next thing to come out of my mouth.
The Philly Sunshine Show with P-Lar.
Sundays from 3 to 5. 3 to 5.
On AM 540. KRXA.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
Good evening. Take a look at your Central Coast traffic. First of all, take it very slow through the Santa Cruz Mountain. 17 at the summit. Reports of actually snow on the roadway. So at this point, CHP has activated the overhead signs to warn you that it's definitely a slippery roadway. So ease up on the gas just a little bit. Santa Cruz County 236 at Little Basin Road. We got an accident there. A vehicle actually hit a very large rock, which is in the roadway. So do keep your eyes open for both the rock and the vehicle still in the lanes. San Martin, Foothill Avenue at East San Martin Avenue. Watch out for some low-hanging power lines over the lanes. So CHP and Rich check out with that, but definitely slow it down so you don't catch that on your antenna. This report is brought to you by Puerto Rico. Explore beyond the shore. Fly to a place where you can stroll through an authentic 16th century Spanish fort, and it's right next door. Visit gotopuertorico.com. I'm Diane with traffic on KRXA.
Even We've got the Peter B. Collins Show among our guests tomorrow. Ken Silverstein, the Washington editor of Harper's Magazine, talks about Islamic groups that support democracy. How about that? And some other news from inside the Beltway. Also, Brad Friedman will be with us as usual from bradblog.com. That's tomorrow. And we're going to shuffle the order of the callers on the board right now because some people have said, yeah, I support Hillary. Let's go to Joel in Forest Hills, New York. Hi, Joel.
Hi. I listen to you because the Air America, I can't get in well here in New York. Spokesman for Obama, Robert Gibbs, is the guy who did the first bad commercials against Howard Dean. So neither Obama nor Hillary have behind the scenes gentle spirits working for them.
Mm-hmm.
I just would wish that when they get upset in terms of campaigning, that they also do that, but behind the scenes.
You're right.
I mean, look how Kerry, trying to be a gentleman in dealing with the Swift boat, how he ended up losing the election.
Mm-hmm.
And keep in mind that I certainly think there is a vast right-wing conspiracy. I mean, I'm in a labor union, and I see business news an hour every day on PBS,
right.
A half hour every day on NPR. I've yet to hear of a regular nationally broadcast show about labor unions 15 minutes every 3 months.
Yeah. Well, there used to be a labor reporter at every major newspaper in America.
That's how Murray Kempton began in the 1940s.
Yeah.
And subsequently here to New York.
Now, Joel, let me ask you this. And it was interesting because, to his credit, Chris Matthews tried really hard to get Howard Wolfson to respond to this last night, and he just wouldn't. And it appears that because what Geffen talked about reflected on Bill Clinton's personal problems, the Lewinsky case and the impeachment, that deeply offended the Clintons, and also the allegation from David Geffen that they lie. And they responded in a way that, you know, to me is political hardball, and that really will not advance their case. And it also suggests to me that by going ballistic so early in the campaign about things that are clearly out there, okay, I mean, the Lewinsky case is going to crop up no matter who Hillary runs against, whether it's in the primary or she makes it to the general election. And she's got to come up with a better way of dealing with that, because to simply try to silence people or to, stare them into submission is not going to work.
I agree that they should try to manage to handle it in a better fashion. I think that in terms of how Hillary and Bill were treated while they were in the White House by the right, and by an awful lot of people who would assert that they are actually liberal or towards left, but bent over backwards, as the New York Times and the Washington Post did repeatedly at the beginning of Watergate, and as Maureen Dowd continues to do, they have a strong urge to respond, and this in the Clinton campaign, I'm sure, to respond with overwhelming force.
Mm-hmm. But it's going
to
backfire.
To make it assured that if they get things from the Republicans, that the Republicans will know that if they try these tricks against her, seeing how she treats her fellow Democrats, they'll even be rougher than the Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is the potential negative feedback from Democratic voters and from the general population and from voters at large,
mm-hmm.
the whole voting population who are of the view that Hillary, as the comments that were of Geffen that Maureen Dowd featured in the article.
Gotcha. Joel, I want to jump to another call. Thank you. Beth in Phoenix, you're next. Go ahead.
Hi. I want to just say something and have you just listen instead of, like, interrupt me or something, okay?
Well, it's my show, so I'll do what I want, but go ahead and talk.
Yeah, I know, but it's also our show if we're all supporting the
Well,
state,
just stop kibitzing. Tell me what you want to say.
Well, okay, well, you say it's no big deal to call someone a liar, which is a problem for me, you know, because you support his calling her a liar, but not her response to it, and that makes my bullshit detectors go up. It's
well,
like,
first of all, you're not allowed to say that on the air. Okay, you got to clean up your language. Secondly, you know, it's out there. Okay.
I heard you say the D-A-M-N word earlier.
We're allowed to say that, but there's a whole list the FCC has, so just play with me, will you? The issue is that the honesty of the Clintons is out there. Bill Clinton lied to the grand jury. That is a fact.
No, we're talking about a Democratic Party that needs to get in power here, and we're talking about now getting into, like, mudslinging amongst the party. Come on. I mean, if, you know, calling, you know, that doesn't mean that, because this was all brought up that it was proof that they're liars, you know. What I saw happen in that, as that whole drama unfolded was somebody who was basically put into a box by his own fault, really, but somebody who was a prey to the Republican Party, who if anybody was going to slip, they were going to find out about it.
Well, wait a minute. That's this victimology. The Clintons are not victims, okay? Bill Clinton's not a victim. Hillary Clinton is not a victim.
You're making judgments that have never been proven. That's why I'm saying this is almost like calling into talk radio. I was talking to somebody.
This is talk radio.
I was talking to somebody the other day. I was talking to somebody the other day that said, oh, yeah, Bill and Hillary killed Steve, you know, the foster guy. And I'm like going, no, I can't believe anybody even thinks that. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, I wonder how much of this is because she's
a
woman.
I'm not talking about Vince Foster. I didn't bring that up. I am talking about the clear lie that Bill Clinton told to the grand jury, and I'm talking about the far-fetched response that Hillary claimed that she only learned about Bill's dalliance the night before he went to the grand jury when everybody in America knew what had happened.
No, these things were never proven, and it does seem because of your defensiveness like I'm talking to right-wing radio. That's what's really weird about this. Like, I've been listening to right-wing radio for the last... Because you're solidified for Obama, and it's obvious.
No, I'm not. I am not in favor of Hillary Clinton.
Because after listening to you talk, it's like, that's what I hear.
Well, then...
what are you doing? You're defending him all the time, and you're not paying attention that... You know, we've got to work together as a party. We can't have...
Working together as a party does not mean protecting Hillary Rodham Clinton from the truth. I'm sorry. I won't do that. And I won't protect Barack Obama from the truth either. I call him as I see him. Thanks for all of your calls today. It's been a fascinating show. Let's do it again tomorrow.
Trails to you until we meet again.
I'll tell you what I got cooking. Dinner's ready. I went to dinnersready.com, chose 8 gourmet dinners, made an appointment, and went to their storefront in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove and prepared the meals there myself. Now I'm cooking them in my own home.
What's that you say? Dinner's ready?
That's right, dinner's ready. It's the newest concept in home cooking. They do all the shopping and chopping, and I get all the credit. If you're too busy to go in and make your dinners, they'll even do it for you. So sign up at dinnersready.com, stop by and see them in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove, or give them a call at 645-9100. That's 645-9100. Dinner's ready!
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Peter King. Scaling back the U.S. mission in Iraq, CBS News correspondent Dan Revive says Senate Democrats are reportedly planning it.
Stinging from a failure to have a full debate on the Iraq war, some Senate Democrats have their staff members drafting a bill meant to replace the authorization for war passed by Congress in 2002, 5 months before the U.S. invasion of Iraq. This legislation would specify what U.S. forces in Iraq can and cannot do.
This as U.S. troops face a new
kind of attack.
Bombs are turning up with chlorine, and Lieutenant General Ray Odierno says U.S. forces discovered the chemical in a bomb factory.
We also found ingredients to be used to devise or enhance explosives, such as fertilizer and chlorine cylinders.
The commander of the multinational force is also concerned about helicopter shootdowns.
They've probably been trying to do this for a long time, but my guess is we have a cell out there that's somewhat effective.
And organized.
In a few cases, there were probably some sort of ambush sites that were set up by some of our foes.
He says two suspects are in custody in the shootdowns. Howard Ehrenstein, CBS News, Washington.
The judge rules on the Anna Nicole Smith case.
I want her buried with her son in the Bahamas.
But he stopped short of ordering it. Instead, he gave custody of the body to the guardian of Smith's daughter, who says it will happen. CBS News correspondent Kelly Cobiella.
Everyone pretty much agreed that Anna Nicole wanted to be with her son, that she loved her son, and that the two were inseparable. And, you know, after a half an hour behind closed doors after the judge's ruling, all the parties came out side by side and said, we've all reached an agreement. The two men still fighting over Anna Nicole Smith's baby were finishing each other's sentences.
Smith's mother is reportedly appealing. The Centers for Disease Control says it's confirmed that tainted peanut butter from ConAgra did indeed contain salmonella. Now the FDA is taking a closer look at the meatpacking industry.
It's the first major overhaul in the food safety inspection system in 10 years.
This new process will take what I believe is already a very safe food supply and will make it safer.
Agriculture Undersecretary Richard Raymond says plants will receive scores to determine how intensive the inspections will be. Scores will be based on the inherent safety of the food the plant processes.
A smoked canned ham, for instance, has almost zero risk that you can get sick from eating.